This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. and Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Second Chance Part 2 by Estes. Chapter 03. I'm sorry, but you're wrong this time. Tim growled, clearly frustrated. Trisha gave him a knowing smile. Haven't you learned by now, I'm never wrong. I can vouch for that. Pete enthusiastically agreed. It's been 11 years and I'm still waiting to win my first fight. They shared a laugh as the couple tried to raise his spirits. In contrast to the previous week, the last 3 days had been anything but wonderful for Tim. Although he had seen Donna every day, the feeling of optimism and joy seemed to be gone. He had come to the conclusion that Saturday was as far as this thing between them was going. Trisha disagreed and, as usual, wasn't shy to share her opinion. If you asked me, you're both scared shitless. He gave her an annoyed look, which she promptly ignored. You both know she's leaving, but neither of you wants to be the one to step up and do anything about it. Tim could feel his level of irritation rising, but knew better than to let it show. So what's with the look she gave me or how secretive she's been about her errands? I'm sure she's hiding something. They both looked at him sympathetically. Finally, Pete spoke. What if she isn't hiding something? Maybe she's just scared like Trisha said. If you knew that she did like you, what would you do about it? What are you suggesting? Asking her out for what, 3 days? She's going back home Sunday, 1,000 miles away. Pete looked at Tim with a Cheshire grin. You've never learned how to think out of the box, have you? Thursday night, Tim had to work overtime to finish the diagnostics on a new piece of test gear that was supposed to be ready for production the following Monday. It was incredibly important and forced him to call Donna and cancel their plans. Pete and Trisha invited her to their house so that she wouldn't be sitting alone in her motel room. Tim appreciated the gesture, plus hoped his friends would be able to get a little bit of a read on her mood. Although he asked them not to pry, if Donna volunteered something that he should know about before making a fool of himself, that seemed like fair game. Friday night he took her out to a new restaurant that Pete had claimed was the most romantic in town. Considering how awkward things had been all week, Tim knew there would be a lot of work to do to get her in the right mood to at least consider his proposal. He knew it was too soon, but there seemed to be no other options. When he arrived at the motel, Pete's advice began appearing more astute. Donna was dressed in a stunning red evening gown with a matching shawl. The dress reached just below her knees and the top showed enough cleavage that it eliminated any doubt that friendship was the only thing on her mind. He suddenly felt remarkably underdressed. Wow, was all Tim could manage to say. She smiled at the sincere reaction and leaned forward to kiss his cheek. I just wanted to dress up a little for you, I hope you don't mind. Tim struggled to find the words to adequately express his admiration of her. Donna had always been a very attractive woman. Even tiny imperfections seemed to add a charming element to her appearance. She had a girl-next-door quality that, to him, made her incredibly beautiful. Tonight was different because she looked gorgeous by any standard. They headed out to the restaurant without further delay. To Tim's delight, the conversation was much more relaxed and fun than it had been that week. He found himself forgetting about anything other than enjoying her. Donna seemed to be happy to do the same. Afterward, he took her dancing. They had a great time and he began to feel more at ease with his decision. It actually appeared that she might be inclined to say yes, as his friends had insisted. He hoped so. For the first time in as long as he could remember, Tim could see himself in a real relationship. It still felt dangerous to him with their history and her sudden reappearance, but every instinct he had was screaming it was worth the risk. At around 11, they left the club and shared a quiet drive. When they reached the hotel, she invited him into her room. Tim followed her inside, then immediately wished he had gone to his house where he could soothe his nerves with a couple of stiff drinks. Donna, the last couple of weeks have been very unexpected for me. He started. When you got here, I was still really angry about what happened in college. Since then, I've started to feel differently. She held up her hand. Stop, Tim, please don't say any more. Before he had a chance to react, she stood up. Before you say anything else, I need to tell you something. What? He groaned, wondering if Trisha really had been wrong after all. She looked into his eyes, appearing incredibly conflicted. I never believed you'd be so kind to me after everything that happened. She stopped and began rubbing her hands together furiously. This is so complicated. She moaned. I didn't think you'd be able to treat me like a friend again, and I don't want to do anything to ruin that. There's something that I have to tell you, and I'm afraid it might change things. Dropping her gaze to the floor again, she continued. I didn't just show up at your house on a whim. The discomfort in his gut quickly built as Tim began to imagine all kinds of unsettling scenarios. Why did you show up then? I was invited, she said quietly. By who? He demanded, his anger flaring. She answered quietly, her eyes returning to his. Your mother. It took a second for the comment to sink in, then Tim reached for the bed as knees gave out. Why, how, what the hell is going on? He finally sputtered. I can't tell you. She saw his intense reaction and quickly added. I promised that I would let her talk to you about it. I'm sorry, but I won't break that promise for anything. Her voice was wavering and he could tell she was on the verge of tears. Taking a long look at her to gauge her sincerity, Tim couldn't see anything but the woman he had begun to care about again in a lot of pain, caught between betraying a trust or risking his outrage. His initial instinct was anger, but the more he tried to focus on her revelation, the more the absurdity of the situation became clear. Donna lowered her eyes, preparing herself for some kind of outburst. When it finally came, it was nothing like what she expected. Her head snapped up at the unexpected sound of Tim trying to control his laughter, his breath slipping from between his lips in a half-spitting, half-hissing sound. He saw her eyes go wide before the tears in his made it impossible to see. That's when he gave up and erupted into a loud, full, gut-wrenching laugh that prevented him from thinking about anything except the fact that he was having trouble breathing. This isn't funny. She protested in vain. Donna stomped her foot and put her hands on her hips in an outraged pose, then repeated. Tim, this is not funny. A few seconds later, he wiped the tears from his eyes and saw her struggling to maintain her composure. A grin began creeping across her face, then he heard her sniff, trying to clear her nose. Finally, the sound of her soft laughter joined his as he fell back on the bed, hands over his face, trying to find a way to stop. After a minute, he managed to gain control of himself enough to start making sense of the situation. Donna was now sitting on the bed beside him, laughing openly and holding her sides. It seemed to be a release from the tension she had been feeling about her secret and what his reaction might be. This is my mother's doing, huh? So, how the hell did you convince her to talk to you? Last I heard, she wasn't exactly your biggest fan. Donna dried her eyes with the back of her hand, his statement finally breaking the spell they seemed to be under. I already said I can't tell you. Please don't ask me, I feel badly enough about this. She made a sound like she was clearing her throat, then fell back into laughter, the irony of her statement causing them both to lose control again. When they calmed down, Tim leaned over and kissed her on the cheek, trying to assure her that he wasn't angry. So is this why you've been acting different for the last few days? She nodded, contritely. Things were starting to move too fast, and I didn't want to go any further with there being secrets between us. You've been so generous with the way you've treated me. I won't do anything to risk hurting you again. I didn't think you'd take it this way. She finished, a perplexed, but relieved look on her face. I'll talk to her tomorrow, then you and I are going to finish this discussion, do you understand me? He demanded, trying to sound authoritative. It seemed pointless considering the talk that would be in store for him in the morning. Tim rang the doorbell to the modest, three-bedroom ranch house. It was unheard of for him to not just walk in, but he was determined to make a point. Somehow, he doubted it would succeed. The door opened and a middle-aged woman's curious face appeared. Tim, what in heaven's name are you doing? Well, he said, maintaining a serious tone. Since you decided it's your prerogative to run my life, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to walk in or wait to be ordered. He paused to see what her reaction would be. She stared at him blankly for a moment, then casually held out her hand, palm upward, and slowly extended her middle finger. Tim opened his mouth in mock indignation as she broke into a wide grin. His attempt to salvage his dignity was forgotten as the familiar gesture diffused any seriousness from the situation. It started Tim's junior year of high school. He had always been close to his parents, especially his mom, rarely having the kind of blow-ups that friends routinely had with their folks. However, one day Tim had asked to go to a party that friends were having, but she refused. She found out that he had been asked to participate in obtaining the alcohol and was trying to buy their acceptance instead of earning their respect, and while she understood all teens participate in these kinds of parties, she didn't approve of the way he was involved. In a rare moment of teenage rebellion, his anger flared. Words failed as he could feel his cheeks flush and hands tremble with rage. Without thinking, he held out his hand and flipped her the bird. She stood there with a shocked expression. Suddenly, reality intruded through Tim's angry haze. He realized what he had done, something that had never happened between them, and waited for the yelling or slapping that surely had to follow such a disrespectful act. The fact that he continued to stand there, frozen in the same pose, was a testament to his shock at what he had done. Her eyes crinkled, and for a moment Tim was afraid she was going to burst into tears. She continued staring at the ridiculous sight of her son, a straight-A student, never in trouble in school or away, always kind and loving, trying to appear defiant but failing miserably. She brought her hands to her face and he flinched, hoping she'd strike him rather than cry, something he couldn't bear. Suddenly he saw her shudder, and there was a barely audible giggle. His hand dropped to his side and Tim watched in shock as tears appeared in her eyes. Not from crying as he feared, but from the laughter that built into an uncontrollable fit. After a moment of feeling a mixture of relief that she wasn't angry and indignation that she was so amused, Tim couldn't resist the urge to join her in laughing at his ill-conceived attempt at independence. He sat down next to her on the couch, and they continued to laugh for several minutes. Every time one would begin to gain control, the other would break into a fit of giggling, starting the whole process over again. Finally, they both managed to recover and hugged each other. I'm sorry, Mom, I didn't mean that. That's all right, sweetheart, I know. She answered with the kind of compassion only a mother can show. So does this mean I'm not in trouble? Looking at him with a straight face, she calmly returned his gesture with a matching one of her own, launching them both back into hysterics. That was the exact moment that Tim felt their relationship change. She began giving him more freedom and allowing him to make his own decisions. In return, he made sure to extend every courtesy to her, never being late, calling to let them know where he was, and always doing his best to make her and his dad proud. They never forgot that moment, and the obscene gesture became a joke between them, always diffusing any tense situation. As Tim watched her do it now, he had to smile, knowing that anything she had said to Donna would undoubtedly be something he'd agree with in the long run. She was a brilliant woman, both in terms of the intelligence he had inherited from her, and in the wisdom he was only beginning to learn from. Tim spoke respectfully, all efforts to be annoyed now washed away. "So I'm guessing you're not going to deny any of it?" Her expression became serious. "No, it's true, but please let me explain why." She gestured for him to come in and they sat down in the living room, where she continued. "It started about 2.5 years ago. She just showed up at the door, out of the blue. I wouldn't have talked to her, but her behavior convinced me that I needed to listen." Mom's face changed, she looked like she was reliving a painful memory. "Donna told me that her father had just passed away. It deeply affected her. He was quite fond of you. She told me how disappointed he had been about you two breaking up and her dating Jake, even though she never told him how it happened. When he died, she felt very guilty for letting him down, then lying on top of it. She needed to do something, but didn't think she could face you. Instead, she came to see me." Tim couldn't hide his surprise. "I don't know why she thought that would be easier." Mom gave him a stern glare. "She didn't. It's just that she didn't want to do anything that could make things worse for you, so she did the next best thing she could think of, to give me the chance to punish her. She told me some of what happened, although she insisted that if she ever told the whole story, it would only be to you. We talked for a long time. By the time she left to see her friend Cindy the next day, the way I felt about her had changed, at least somewhat." Shaking his head in confusion, Tim interrupted. 2.5 years ago? Why didn't you say something? Because I really didn't want to meddle, honey," she said sincerely. "It's your life and it wouldn't have been right to try to get involved. Besides, just because my feelings had changed didn't mean I would approve of her trying to contact you. After all, you were starting a whole new life after school and it seemed like you were finally over her. Anyway," she continued, "we talked on and off for the next couple of years, every few months on the phone. She came by to see me anytime she was visiting her friend. Even though I could tell she wanted to see you, she never asked. It was difficult because I knew she was unhappy, but she wasn't willing to risk involving you to make herself feel better. About 2 months ago, she was having so much trouble dealing with her personal problems, she called and told me what was going on. It was obvious that she just couldn't move on with her life without talking to you to set things right. I told her that I thought it was time for you two to talk." I looked at her suspiciously. "Why?" I asked. She gave him a pained look. "Because you weren't moving on with your life. You're my son, I know you better than anyone. You haven't been the same since that night. I was hoping that seeing her could help you finally get past it. Is that all?" he asked, already knowing the answer. "No, Mr. Smartypants," she conceded, annoyed that Tim had read her motivations. "After talking to her for so long, I thought that maybe something was there, something the two of you could find. You had been angry for so long, but I thought you might have reached a point where you could get past what happened and really listen to her. At least I hoped you could. Well, maybe you should have thought to warn me. I almost blew that the first time we sat down and talked. I was so mean to her, it's a miracle that she ever talked to me again. We're lucky that anything got resolved." She shrugged her shoulders. "That was up to you. It's your life. I just told her that I thought it was a good idea to see you. So last Sunday when she was busy, she was here. We talked and she let me know everything that had happened. She was excited that you seemed to really enjoy being with her again, but she didn't want to push it too far. She was afraid of getting hurt since it couldn't last more than the week." Mom arched her eyebrows in a questioning way. Tim took the obvious hint. "Well, I have a plan to extend her visit if she's interested." She smiled, looking genuinely relieved. "That's wonderful. I really believe that would be good for both of you, no matter what you two eventually decide." He glanced at his watch and saw that it was already 4 o'clock. Quickly, he ran through everything he was planning, vowing to make it as difficult as possible for Donna to say no. He then let her know that he needed to go so he could get everything ready. She gave him a long hug at the door. "Good luck, honey," she said, affectionately brushing his hair back. "I think you're doing the right thing." "Of course you do," he said wryly. "It was your idea." She smiled and kissed his cheek, giving him the look that she'd given hundreds of times in his life. It let him know that she was supremely confident in her plan. Tim shook his head as he walked to the car, wondering if he'd ever be as sure of himself as she was. Tim was just finishing the table when the doorbell rang. After a quick check to make sure everything was in place, he walked slowly to the door, trying to appear calm and confident despite the anxiety coursing through his body. He took a deep breath and reached for the handle. As the door swung open, his breath caught in his throat. Donna stood there, bathed in the light spilling out from the living room. She looked angelic, her face framed by the gentle glow from inside. Suddenly it occurred to him that the reason the light made her look so radiant was that she was standing in the dark. In his haste to make everything perfect for dinner, he had forgotten to turn on the porch light. "Gee," Donna said with a grin. "I was wondering if I got the wrong night. Oops," was all Tim could think to say. "It's okay," she said cheerfully, stepping forward to kiss him on the cheek. Would you mind if we ate right away? He asked, hoping to avoid any immediate questions about his visit to his mom and to get things off on the right foot. Dinner is ready and I don't want it to get cold. Donna smiled. That would be nice, Tim. It smells delicious. Did you make it? She asked with a sly grin. Yeah, right, I'm going to ask you to my house for a nice dinner, then risk poisoning you with my cooking? He laughed. It's from this restaurant Pete and Trisha took me to a while back. The food is excellent. Just hurry, before I accidentally ruin it. They went to the dining room where the table was set with care. He had purchased a tablecloth specifically for the occasion, along with the candles, which cast a soft glow across the scene. He pulled out a chair and motioned for her to sit, then moved to the other side. The food was delicious, but there was tension in the air as they tried to make small talk. Tim needed everything to be perfect, so did his best to keep things light between them for the moment. After they finished eating, he went to the fridge and retrieved the French silk pie that had been delivered from his favorite bakery. Donna always had a weakness for chocolate, and French silk was her favorite. Her expression let him know he'd hit a home run with the gesture. They had a large slice each, but had to put away the rest for later. I can't believe I ate that much, she complained. I think you're going to have to carry me out of here. Well, the question is, did you like it? He said, fishing for a compliment. The truth was, it was easy to tell that she had loved everything. Tim, it was wonderful, she said sincerely. This entire trip has been beyond anything I could have imagined. Thank you. He beamed at her praise. Well, can we move to the living room? I have one more surprise left. She smiled and walked into the living room, while he stayed behind and grabbed a bottle of wine and a couple of glasses. Then he took a deep breath and went to join her. After pouring her a glass, Tim raised his. To old friends, finally reunited, he said, studying her face closely. She looked so happy, he knew it was finally the right time to ask. After taking a sip, he started the speech he had been rehearsing ever since the talk with Pete. Donna, I wanted to tell you how glad I am that you came back here. I understand how hard it was for you. I'm sorry that I didn't make it easier. Tim, you didn't do anything wrong, she protested. He put his finger to her lips to stop her so he could finish. This isn't about who's right or wrong. What happened is in the past, and we can't change it. Now we have to figure out what to do about the present. She looked like she wanted to interject, but heeded his unspoken warning. The last couple of weeks have been wonderful for me and I don't want it to end. He paused to see what she wanted to say. I don't want it to end either, Tim, she said, her eyes beginning to tear up. This has been the best I've felt in as long as I can remember. But what can we do? I have to go home tomorrow. Work won't give me any more time off and... She paused and looked away in embarrassment. I can't afford it if they did. Reaching out, he gently took her hand. What if you could? She stared at him in confusion. Donna, if there was a way for you to stay here, would you consider it? Would you think about going out with me again? Taking the chance to see if there is something between us? But how? You're not suggesting I stay here. She protested, looking around the house. No, he answered, shaking his head. That would put impossible pressure on both of us. But what if I had a place you could stay at that would be really nice and very affordable? Tim, I would love to stay here. She cried, a tear trickling down her cheek. There's nothing for me back home. I just can't afford it. I'm completely broke. This trip has wiped me out. Listen, Donna, you've already told me that you don't like your job that much and it's taking forever to get where you want to be. My company sells a lot of equipment to one of the big hospitals here and we have a special program we established where we refurbish old equipment for the tax write-off. Pete proposed the deal and has overseen it since it started. He has a lot of pull with their administrators and has already been assured that a job application from you would be viewed favorably. He said with a smile. You'd be looking at a better position. One that paid more, plus had great opportunity for advancement. Cindy lives nearby and I know how close you two still are. You'd be able to see her all the time. I've talked to my mother, he said with a mock grimace, and found out you're welcome there anytime. She smiled apologetically. I am very sorry about that, Tim. I never meant to deceive you. When I went to talk to your mom, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. To be honest, I expected her to really let me have it. She was so nice to me. Her eyes took on a faraway look. I can never tell you how much it meant. Thank you for not being upset about it. He shrugged. What am I going to do? She was the instigator, and I'm way more scared of her than you. When Donna laughed, he turned serious again. So what do you say? Take a chance. Donna wiped her face with the back of her hand. That sounds so amazing. I can't believe you went through all that trouble for me. But I just can't. I never really told you how tight things are for me. The job sounds wonderful and I would really like to spend more time with you, but I couldn't afford to move right now. Her eyes took on a determined expression. And I couldn't take charity from you either. It wouldn't be right. She let her guard down and stared through him, just the way he remembered from college. I want you to know, Tim. I would love to find out if there was a chance for us. You are a wonderful man and I am so impressed by what you've done with your life. It's amazing. If things were different, I swear I would be happy to stay. Taking another breath, Tim sprung his last surprise. Well, what if there was a way to stay until you had the money you needed? Trisha has a friend named Maria who just lost her roommate. They talked and Maria said if you were willing to commit to signing a lease for a year, you could stay there for the first 2 months free. The woman who moved out paid ahead, so Maria doesn't need the money, but she wants someone she can trust without having to go through a million interviews. All she would want is for you to pay your share of the utilities at the end of the month. Donna looked at him in shock. I don't know what to say. She stammered. Well, I'd love to hear you say you'll at least consider it. I kind of have to give a bunch of answers soon. Her expression softened, changing to hopeful. You really want me to stay that much? You're not just being kind? Tim was surprised to see fear in her eyes, and it snapped him out of the giddy mood. Donna, I would not have done all this if I hadn't given it a lot of thought. I really want you to stay. This is hard for me. He let his eyes drop from hers. I haven't felt like this in a long time and am afraid of getting kicked in the teeth. You mean so much. He was interrupted by Donna suddenly throwing herself against his chest, her arms wrapping around his neck and her lips pressing firmly against his. She kissed him hungrily, devouring his lips with her own. Her fingers worked their way through his hair as she held tight, refusing to let him move. Finally, she relinquished her hold and pulled away, looking slightly embarrassed at her behavior. So can I take that as a yes? He stammered. Donna smiled and kissed him on the tip of his nose. That's definitely a yes. You know, if you had told me this was going to be part of my responsibilities as your girlfriend, I probably would have moved back to my mom's. Donna grinned as she held up a ratty pair of sweatpants. They were ones Tim continually forgot to throw away, despite her constant reminders. They're not that bad. He insisted, trying to defend himself. You wouldn't believe how comfortable they are. She raised an eyebrow and shot him a disapproving glare. I'll never find out. I prefer my clothes to be from this century, thank you very much. Despite his protests, she went down the stairs, determined to not let him get away with hiding them again. Tim smiled as he watched her walk away. The way her jeans hugged her hips and ass never failed to catch his attention. It made the awkwardness between them even more puzzling. Despite the fact that they had been dating regularly for 2 months, there had been a decided lack of rhythm. They enjoyed each other's company, but intimacy had been nothing more than a wishful thought. The word, love, hadn't come close to making an appearance. He was concerned that despite their fondness and their history, it might be a case of something that just wasn't meant to be. He realized it might not be that surprising a development. Despite the intense relationship in college, they had both grown and changed so much in the years since. The comfort level that he enjoyed with her was long gone. She reacted differently to things than he anticipated, and she often seemed surprised by how he responded to situations. They constantly were feeling each other out, making it impossible to move forward in the relationship. There were still ghosts from the past that haunted him despite his sincere efforts to bury them. He had to assume that she felt the same, although that was something they rarely talked about. The memories were too painful to both, so they tried creating a fresh start. Tim was certain that the desire to avoid those thoughts was keeping them from opening up to each other, as they needed to. But he still couldn't bring himself to broach that subject. He pushed the doubts from his mind as he saw her come back up the stairs. Nothing could distract him from the sight of the tight-fitting t-shirt straining across her chest, outlining her breasts. Tim swore to himself as he noticed that she hadn't worn a bra. Just what I needed, he thought in frustration. Just because they hadn't been intimate, didn't mean the thought hadn't crossed his mind. The memories of their lustful encounters were burned into his memory, causing him to see them as clearly as if they happened yesterday. Plus, he had the more recent image of her skinny dipping in his pool to contend with. That was front and center as she walked closer. Are you all right? She asked, breaking his reverie. Huh, oh yeah, sorry. He mumbled. I was just daydreaming. Yeah, well, don't even try whining to me. They're gone and you'll never get them back. She teased him. Tim tried to act more annoyed than he felt, hoping she wouldn't realize that he had been staring at her body, not thinking about his old clothes. Keep this up and I won't ask you to help again. Promises, promises. She laughed. Donna walked over to the dresser and started digging through a drawer to find the matching shirt she knew was stashed away. Tim was so entranced by watching how sexy she looked that he failed to notice which drawer she was digging in. What's this? She asked unexpectedly. He stepped forward to see what she had found and could feel the blood drain from his face. Donna stood in front of him holding a small jewelry box. She opened it without looking up, then Tim saw her face go pale as well. Slowly her eyes rose until they met his, the intensity of her stare causing him to look away. Well, he stammered, unprepared for how to explain an expensive engagement ring buried in a clothes drawer in a worn jewelry case that was obviously several years old. His evasive behavior confirmed instantly that what she had found was something from their past. Tim, she said, her voice thick with emotion. Please tell me what this is. He didn't want to admit the truth, but was caught without any other explanation. Unsure of what else to say, he turned away in embarrassment. I bought it in college before we, you know. He mumbled, feeling a twinge of the humiliation tied to those memories. Although a voice was screaming inside his head to be strong and not fall apart, Tim could feel tears welling up in his eyes. Damn it! The voice in his head screamed. Not now. Things were just starting to feel normal again. He was searching for a way to make a tactful retreat from the room with some semblance of self-respect when there was a touch on his shoulder. You bought this for me. She whispered, her voice trembling. He nodded, refusing to look, trying to prevent her from seeing his shame. There was a moment of silence, then hands were touching his cheeks. Tim tried to shake them off, not wanting her pity, but she refused to be deterred. Her fingers gently forced him to turn his face toward her. When their eyes finally met, he was surprised to see tears raining down her cheeks. Donna tilted her head back and brought her lips up slowly. As they met his, Tim felt electricity that had been absent since they began dating again. Her mouth opened as her lips danced across his hungrily, her body melting against him. He felt a stirring in his groin, when she unexpectedly pushed against him, forcing him into the wall with a loud thud. Her kiss intensified, her tongue moving between his lips, while a hand snaked behind his head, forcing him against her. She pulled back, kissing his face and neck. Without warning, Donna spun him around and shoved him to the bed, falling hard on top. Her mouth moved back to his and she nibbled at his lips, seemingly intent on devouring them. Her hands were at his shirt, her fingers fumbling at the buttons as the kissing intensified. They worked down quickly until Tim felt her reach his belt and unlatch it in a single motion. Before he could make a move of his own, she kissed her way down his chest, nibbling and biting a path toward her goal. His head fell back as she reached his navel, briefly running her tongue across it, then continuing down. Her hands slid into his boxers, her fingers grasping his erection around the middle. He could feel the cool air on it for just a moment before her lips wrapped around the head. She quickly ran her tongue around the tip, then plunged her mouth downward, softly raking her teeth across the sensitive skin. Donna's head moved back and forth several times before letting it slowly, agonizingly slip from her lips. Her hand cradled it, her mouth moving to the shaft, where she went from the tip to the base, dragging her tongue lazily across the surface. "Harder," he moaned, grabbing the sheets with his hands and squeezing. She responded by closing her lips around the underside of the shaft and sucking. The sensations were overwhelming, both because it had been so long for him and because this level of aggression was out of character for the woman he knew. "Baby, you have to stop or I'm going to come." Despite the pleasure, he wanted to be inside her. Her eyes locked on his as her effort instead intensified. She took the hand rapidly back and forth while she kept her head still, her cheeks hollowing as she applied even more suction. Tim jumped involuntarily as her other hand came up between his legs, stroking from his scrotum to his anus. Her fingertips brushed across the sensitive skin several times before moving back up. Without a word, she pulled away and quickly slid out of her jeans. She climbed on the bed and straddled him, reaching down and guiding his cock inside. Tim shuddered as the tip pushed past her lips, then sank deeper as she sat down hard on his lap. There was no attempt at subtlety, she just moved her hips up until only the tip remained inside her, then slammed back down. She repeated the motion over and over, gaining speed with each thrust. Tim's hips moved up to meet hers, increasing the speed dramatically as he felt himself reach the point of no return. Sensing his impending orgasm, Donna moaned. "Come for me, baby, I want you to come. Please, Tim, do it now. Come inside me." He groaned, as an emotional and physical wave rushed over. He grabbed her hips and pulled her down, holding her tightly against her as he came. Her hands braced against his shoulders as her body shuddered in its own orgasm. When it waned, she fell against him, the ferocious display having exhausted her. He lay back, exhausted, sweat dripping from his body. Turning to look at Donna in amazement, he asked, "Where did that come from?" She cupped his face with her hands affectionately and said, "You are a wonderful man and I don't deserve you." Tim shook his head in confusion, but decided not to press the issue. The sex had been like something out of a fantasy, and he didn't want to kill the mood. He guessed that she felt badly about another reminder of what happened, but promised himself to assure her later there was no need. The past was gone, and it was time for them both to move forward. Watching her lying there, basking in the afterglow of a wonderful orgasm, Tim felt the final piece of the wall he had built around himself crumble away. A part of him came alive for the first time in years. He knew without needing to hear it from her that whatever had been holding them back was gone. "Hurry up, we're going to be late," Tim complained. "Keep your pants on, I'm not going to go meet your friends looking like I just fell out of bed," Donna answered, irritation clearly evident in her voice. "First of all," he said, amused by her annoyance, "if you just fell out of bed, I'd be tempted to make them wait for us." He walked up behind her and squeezed her breast playfully as he kissed the side of her neck. Donna shooed him away, trying to finish her hair. "Secondly," he said, retreating from the bathroom, "they're not my friends, they're our friends." Donna stopped what she was doing and looked at him contritely. She walked over and took his hands. "I'm sorry, honey, I shouldn't have said that. I love both of them dearly. It's just hard sometimes to think about them that way after all that happened. They loved you and hated me for years. I don't blame them, but they still know you far better than me." She kissed him on the cheek and stared deeply into his eyes. "They are our friends," she said with exaggeration. "And it's important that I look my best so they know I'm not taking you for granted. Now let me get finished so we can go." She kissed him again and went back into the bathroom. Tim watched her getting ready, trying to take in every detail of how she behaved and looked. This was a big night, and nothing would be the same afterwards. He thought about the 6 months that had passed since the day she found his old ring. They made love so passionately that day, he couldn't imagine anything being able to top it. Watching her primp, Tim reflected on the folly of his assumption. After finally making love after so long, they immediately fell into a rhythm that was relaxed, comfortable, and more than he could have hoped for. Everything had been so different than when they were together in college. They were both more mature, and felt connected in many small ways that he didn't even know were possible back then. Sometimes he wondered if it would have actually worked out so well if they hadn't had the breakup. Whenever that thought came, it was accompanied by another, darker one. It was possible that he was just trying to find ways to get past the pain. Tim loved her so much that it was difficult to even deal with the memory of what happened. After a lot of work, he found ways to avoid the subject. He wasn't sure if it was the best way to handle things, but it had gotten him to this point, which was more than he ever expected. Since you're in such a hurry, why are you just sitting there daydreaming? She chastised him. Tim shook his head, knowing that there was no way to explain to her what he was thinking. He barely understood it himself, but it didn't matter. He was truly happy for the first time since college. In fact, he was much happier. Now he had the respect of his peers and the financial means to do what he wanted. Having Donna in his life made it perfect. They left for the restaurant an hour early. He told Donna it was because he promised to stop and pick up Pete's watch at the jewelry store since it was on the way. Tim had given her the receipt to hold, telling her it was because they both knew how forgetful he could be about that kind of thing. The car pulled up in front of the business. Donna turned and said, "Honey, the sign says closed. I hope Pete won't be upset." Tim shrugged my shoulders. "Well, let me go check to see if anyone's still inside." He got out and ran to the front door, peering through the glass for some sign of employees. When he saw movement inside, he banged on the glass. A pleasant-looking middle-aged man opened the door, and they spoke briefly before Tim turned and waved for Donna to bring the receipt. She got out and hurried to the door, which the man held open for them both. The man walked back behind the counter and turned to wait. Donna started to walk toward him, but Tim caught her arm. She gave him a puzzled look, which brought a smile to his lips. "So far, so good," he thought. "Donna," Tim said with a serious tone. "I want to tell you how much I love you." She smiled and blushed. "Tim, I love you too, but we need to get going or we're going to be late." "No, we're not." Her expression showed a mixture of confusion and annoyance, so he knew it was time to stop teasing her. "Sweetheart, the last 8 months have been more wonderful than I thought was possible. When you showed up at my door, I couldn't have imagined my life was going to change so much, so fast." He got down on one knee and saw a tear wind down her face. "I love you and want to spend the rest of my life with you. Would you marry me?" Tim held his breath because they hadn't talked about marriage a single time, so he wasn't entirely confident what her response would be. Donna was quiet for a minute, just staring at him with her lips trembling, tears now streaming down her face unrestrained.
"Yes,"
she said finally.
"I'd be so happy to marry you."
Tim stood and took her into his arms, kissing her with abandon. She tilted her head from side to side, leaving kisses across his lips, cheek, then finally burying her face against his neck. He squeezed her so tightly that it brought a whine of protest. Finally, she pulled back.
"I've been waiting so long for you to say that.
I love you, Tim."
Then she leaned her head against his chest and sobbed quietly. After holding her for a minute, he turned his attention to the salesman. He knew they had to hurry. The man hadn't said how much longer he could stay. Tim had only paid him until 7. The idea came from a popular movie he'd seen. He let her go and stepped away.
"Donna,"
he said proudly.
"Choose,"
waving his hand at the rings on display. She looked around in wonder at the beautiful rings in the shop for several seconds while Tim held his breath in anticipation. Finally, she looked at the salesman and said,
"I'm sorry, sir, but the ring I want isn't here."
He tried to assure her that he would be able to order any design she wanted, or even custom make something, but she shook her head and turned back to her new fiancé.
"My ring is at your house, Tim. You bought it for me 5 years ago, and it was my fault that I've had to live without it this long. I won't wear any other one."
Tim blinked back tears as her words moved him more than he thought possible. Even though that ring had held such bad memories, he hadn't been able to part with it because it also represented something else, a hope for the future that seemed like a childish dream. He had never considered the possibility that she'd want it over anything she could choose. Knowing that she did, touched him more deeply than he thought possible.
"I wish there was some way to tell you how much I love you."
"There is,"
she said smiling.
"Take me home and get me my ring so I can show Pete and Trisha."
She leaned forward and kissed him again, then they walked to the door. He turned and shrugged an apology toward the salesman, glad that he insisted he pay the man in advance instead of just depending on the commission the jeweler was planning to earn. They drove the 10 minutes to the house in silence. Donna snuggled against his arm. Tim wanted to say something, anything, but couldn't seem to find words to express his feelings. There were times when he really did still feel like the awkward geek from high school. While she waited in the living room, Tim ran upstairs 2 at a time to reach the bedroom. The ring was in the drawer where he always had kept it, even after Donna had found it. Although he couldn't explain why, there was a superstition about it staying in the same place that felt important to him. He grabbed it, paused for just a second to glance at it one more time, then hurried back down the stairs. When he reached the bottom, Donna was waiting. Tim could see her trembling. She looked so fragile and innocent he wanted to hold that memory forever.
"If you don't mind, I'd like to do this all over again,"
he asked, worried she would think it was a little silly. She gave him an understanding nod.
"I was going to ask if you'd do it anyway."
Tim got down on one knee again and repeated the proposal. When she said yes, the emotions felt every bit as strong as before for them both. He opened the box and put the ring on her finger, having to steady her hand. He rose and kissed her passionately, then stepped back, and held her hands as he savored the moment. Donna was looking at the ring when she noticed her watch.
"Oh shit, Pete and Trisha are waiting for us."
They both laughed, knowing that our friends knew Tim well enough to expect him to be late. 30 minutes later, they walked into the restaurant and saw the couple waiting at a table. Donna ran to them to show off the ring. There were congratulations and hugs all around as they ordered champagne to celebrate. Trisha cried as Donna related the proposal and her insistence on the old ring. The night dragged on for hours, as the women started talking about how to plan the wedding.
"Guys,"
Tim finally pleaded, feel exhausted.
"We've been engaged for a couple of hours, can't this wait until tomorrow?"
Trisha gave him an exasperated look and turned to Donna.
Men are completely clueless.
October, 2006. Tim walked into the house at 5 o'clock sharp. He smiled, planning the things he wanted to do for Donna before she got home. It was pretty rare that he made it home from work before her. She had been remarkably tolerant of his schedule since the marriage, and he tried to make it up to her every opportunity he could. As he walked toward the kitchen, he looked at their wedding photo, taken 11 months earlier. When it came to Donna, Tim always found it difficult to see her as anything other than stunningly beautiful, but seeing her that day left him speechless. He felt a twinge of pride, remembering the feeling of watching her walk down the aisle. Since her father had passed away, she asked Tim's dad to escort her. It was an incredibly thoughtful gesture, and he had never forgotten it. If anything, their lives had continued to improve since that day, with both finding contentment and security with each other. That didn't make everything perfect, however. There were some issues between them that had never reared their head in the college relationship. Tim found that for the first time in his life he felt jealousy. It didn't happen often, but a part of him couldn't seem to get past the idea that something bad could happen. His newfound problem was without any apparent cause. Donna never gave him a reason to doubt her and seemed willing to bend over backward to address any of his concerns. She wasn't without her limits, however. Several times, Tim pushed too hard and found himself on the receiving end of his wife's normally hidden temper. When it came out, she could hold her own against anyone. Luckily, she was usually quick to forgive as well. Those problems weren't overwhelming, however. They had a wonderful marriage and a sex life that was beyond Tim's wildest dreams. Donna had a great job that she loved, yet always found time to put their family first. He smiled again at the picture of her from the wedding and turned to walk into the kitchen, intending to make dinner for her for a change. The sound of the phone ringing startled him out of his reverie. He walked over and picked up the receiver.
"Hello?" he said pleasantly.
"Hi, is Donna there?" a man's voice asked. Tim's stomach churned like he'd been sucker punched.
"No, she's not here. This is her husband, can I help you?"
he replied tersely. There was a click as the line went dead. Tim set the receiver down and stared at it, trying to make himself believe he had just imagined what he'd heard. Looking up, he saw his reflection in the mirror, which showed a shaken man who looked like he'd seen a ghost. "Motherfucker," he swore to himself. He stared at the phone, knowing there was no way he'd ever forget that voice, Jake.
"This is fabulous, honey," Donna said pleasantly. "What's the occasion?"
Tim tried to hide his dark mood.
"I just got home early and wanted to do something for you."
She sensed his discomfort.
"Tim, is something wrong? You've been distracted all night."
"No," he lied.
"Just a tough day at work."
"Well," she said with a smile.
"Since you did something so thoughtful for me, how about if I clear the table, then return the favor?"
He thought about telling her he was too tired, but decided that it would be unfair since there was nothing indicating she'd done anything wrong. All night he had studied her closely for any sign of some problem or clue as to why Jake called or even why he had their number, but nothing seemed out of the ordinary. The voice in his head screamed that he should talk to her about it, but he pushed it away, opting to wait and not let her in on how much he knew. Donna finished with the dishes and held out her hand. He took it and followed her upstairs, trying to shake off his doubts. "She hasn't done anything," he reminded himself. "At least nothing that I know of," the other voice added. As they stepped into the bedroom, he did his best to put it out of his head, not wanting to spoil what was supposed to be a wonderful night with unsubstantiated suspicions. Donna walked to the bed, undoing the buttons on her blouse. She shed it quickly, then stepped out of her slacks, turning to face him.
"Wow, I'll never get tired of that view," he said with a chuckle. "And I'll never get tired of you telling me you like it,"
she answered with a smile, reaching behind to unclasp her bra. She shrugged her shoulders, letting it fall to the floor, then slid her panties down her legs. She stepped out of them, and put her hands on her hips, standing in front of him invitingly. Tim stepped forward, taking her in his arms and kissing her longingly. She pulled away with a sly grin, her fingers working their way down his shirt. When she reached the last button, she leaned forward, kissing his neck. She moved lower, running her tongue down his chest, pausing to take a nipple in her mouth. Her eyes stared into his as she pulled back her lips and nibbled softly with her teeth.
"Oh wow,"
he moaned, realizing that her hands were skillfully loosening his belt while he was distracted. Donna made a throaty moan as she kissed her way lower, sinking to her knees in front of him. His pants fell to the floor of their own weight, and her hand reached into the top of his boxers to grip his erection. She leaned forward, softly nibbling the shaft through the cloth.
"What do we have here?"
she asked innocently, pulling the waistband down and sliding her mouth over the tip. Tim's head fell back blissfully as her hand worked its way up and down, her tongue circling the tip. She looked intently into his eyes as her tongue ran up the shaft and across the head, pulling a strand of pre-cum with it and making a show of playing with it, before she took the head back into her mouth.
"Baby,"
he moaned, as she urged him back until he was laying prone on the bed. She slid the rest of his clothes to the floor, then resumed her hand's motion. She moved her mouth lower, taking his balls into her mouth, first one, then the other. Her tongue ran back up the shaft, taking one last nibble at the head, then she continued moving up his body, leaving a trail of saliva across his skin. She reversed her grip, and aimed the tip at her opening, running it through her wet folds several times. When she was ready, Donna pushed back, allowing the shaft to sink inside her slowly.
"Oh yeah,"
she groaned, reversing direction, sliding up a few inches, then pushing down until he was fully inside her. Her lips sought out his as she moved her hips forward and back in small motions, never rising off of him.
Tim knew that when she was this aggressive, she was very turned on and knew exactly how to move to achieve a quick orgasm. He allowed her to control the tempo, content to let his hands run across her sides and back, savoring the softness of her skin.
Almost, almost. She cooed, letting him know not to move.
There! She called out as her body shook uncontrollably. Tim pulled her tightly against him, delighting in her obvious bliss. She kissed him hungrily as he rolled her to her back, taking charge with long thrusts. He hooked an arm under her knee and raised it higher, achieving maximum penetration. His lips found her breast, and he nibbled at her nipple just hard enough to draw a moan of protest without altering the rhythm of his strokes. Her breathing took on the cadence of his thrusts, letting him know she was already approaching a second climax. With a sudden motion, he withdrew, causing her to whine in protest.
"Turn over," he scolded.
She rolled to her stomach, and he pulled her up to her hands and knees.
"You have such a great ass," he said appreciatively, leaning forward to bite her on the cheek.
"Ouch," she yelped in protest.
"Sorry, couldn't resist."
He pulled her back onto her knees while standing on the floor behind her. His cock slid back inside her warmth easily, allowing him to increase the force of his thrusts.
"That's it, Tim, fuck me harder," she cried.
He held her hips tightly, using the leverage to crash against her over and over in a frenzy of motion.
"Almost,"
she whined. Tim knew he only had seconds before he lost control, so he reached under her and strummed her clit. Her body was covered in sweat and slid against him, the sensation so erotic that he couldn't hold out any longer.
"Ah,"
he cried, pushing against her as she collapsed to the bed. His body lay on hers as he came, his hand still trapped underneath. His fingertips continued stroking her as he thrust deeply and froze, lost in the sensation of her warmth. Donna screamed into the pillow as her own orgasm hit just as his was finishing. Her body went through spasms more fierce than before, the walls of her sex gripping him so tightly he felt like he could come again. He laid against her, feeling the ripples flow through her body. Gently he moved his arms around her, holding her close as she wound down from the exertion. When she stopped moving, he rolled over, pulling her with until they were on their sides, spooning. He could feel her heartbeat against his chest, her breathing slowly returning to normal. Tim leaned forward and kissed her behind the ear, drawing an additional shudder.
"Don't start it unless you're going to finish it,"
she threatened.
"I surrender,"
Tim said, chuckling, still holding her tightly. She looked so peaceful laying there, chest heaving, sweat glistening on her skin. Donna rolled over and kissed him tenderly, then squirmed under the blanket and snuggled back against him.
"That was wonderful," she said sleepily. "I love you so much."
As Tim watched her drift off to sleep, he tried to assure himself that he believed her with all his heart.
"Are you out of your mind?" Trisha asked in disbelief. "There is no way she has anything to do with that asshole calling your house. Please tell me you are going to talk to her about it."
Tim looked to Pete for help, but didn't see any coming. He knew talking to them wasn't going to be easy. They both had grown to love Donna and wouldn't want to believe anything negative about her. The problem was, he didn't know what to do and didn't have anyone else to talk with. Despite Trisha's strong objections, Tim still felt he needed to proceed cautiously, in case something was going on under his nose.
"What if she does know about it? If I tip her off, then I'll never know for sure what's going on. He didn't just call my house by accident, he asked for her. He knew that she was supposed to be there. I'm not going to jump to conclusions, but I want to keep this to myself for now."
"Tim," Trisha pleaded, trying to sound encouraging.
"You told us yourself that he hurt her. Why would she want anything to do with him, even if she wasn't married? She loves you and would never risk hurting you again."
"I'm not accusing her of anything, Trisha," he said, trying to sound restrained.
"I do know that she agreed to do a lot of stupid things because she couldn't seem to say no to the asshole. It doesn't mean that I think she's done anything wrong, but I need to know for sure. If she knows and hasn't told me, I'd rather find out as much as I can before I talk to her. Otherwise, I'm always going to wonder if I know the whole story."
Neither of his friends looked too happy about the decision, but Tim knew they respected him enough not to interfere. Trisha looked at him sadly.
"I hope you know what you're doing."
Tim watched closely for unusual happenings for 2 weeks. He had considered looking into a private eye or buying a bug for their phone, but thought that seemed too extreme. He still didn't have any indication from Donna that she had a clue about what was going on. If he overreacted and did something stupid, it could lead to major problems between them. It was only 2 weeks until their anniversary, and the last thing he wanted to do was ruin it with some half-baked accusations. There had been numerous calls on the answering machine where there was no message left. Tim continually checked the caller ID, but the ones that weren't telemarketers came from an unlisted cell phone. Since there were a half dozen calls from the same cell, he was very suspicious. However, it wasn't the number that Jake called from the first time, so Tim was still stuck without knowing anything more than before. He was trying to decide if he was just losing his mind when his cell phone rang. He saw that it was from Donna's cell and picked it up immediately.
"Hey, gorgeous."
"Hi, sweetheart," Donna answered.
"I'm so sorry, but they want me to work over again. Michelle called in sick and there's no one to cover until 7.
"Damn it," Tim swore to himself. He tried to hide his disappointment.
"This is the fourth time in 2 weeks, aren't they going to get any help there soon?"
She sounded contrite.
"Trust me, honey, I'd much rather be home with you. I know this is a pain, but they are really understaffed here. They warned me that this might happen when I took the transfer. Please don't be mad. I promise to make it up to you when I get home," she said playfully.
"All right.
With an offer like that, how can I be upset? Get back to work and I'll stay here at work. I have stuff I really should take care of anyway, so this gives me the chance to do it without neglecting you. I'll make sure I'm back in time to meet you at home. I'd like to spend some time together tonight. I love you.
I love you too, baby.
I can't wait.
After he hung up, he slammed his cell phone against the desk. As much as he tried understanding, the call from Jake made him want to spend extra time with her, just to make sure she knew he wasn't taking her for granted. Unfortunately, their jobs continued to get in the way. He knew being frustrated with her wasn't going to make anything better either. It just seemed like the only answer was to trust her and tell her about the calls, hoping that it didn't leave him vulnerable in case she was trying to hide something. Tim shook his head at the ridiculous nature of his worries. Donna loved him, had done nothing to give him the hint that anything was wrong, and still he felt like he had to protect himself from the possibility that she was plotting against him. He went back to work, wondering if he was just fucked up beyond repair.
Front desk, can I help you? Melissa? Is that you? Tim asked.
Hey Tim.
She cheerfully replied.
You just missed her.
Missed her? He asked in confusion. I thought she was working late again.
He heard her voice sigh.
They got someone to cover her shift. She went to dinner at Spiaggia's with some people from the morning shift. I think she's coming back here before she goes home. Do you want me to give her a message?
That's all right. I'll just pop over and surprise her.
It's only about 10 minutes from here.
Okay, Tim.
I've got to run. She said, sounding annoyed to have been left out. He hung up the phone and packed up his stuff to take home. Although he would have liked to spend the whole evening together, it was nice that the group was going out. He knew they needed to blow off some steam. Maybe he could even buy a round of drinks or something to show what a great husband she had. 20 minutes later, he pulled into the parking lot. He jumped out of the car and strolled to the door, looking forward to surprising her. When he stepped inside, Tim looked around and quickly spotted several tables moved together with a group of women and a few men. Any plans about impressing her coworkers flew out the window as he spotted Donna and the man sitting next to her.
Jake!
He spat under his breath. The man who'd haunted Tim's nightmares for years looked almost the same as in college. He was a little thinner, but still obviously in great shape and was happily chatting with the women around him. As Tim worked his way around the aisle, he got a look at Donna, who didn't appear to be happy. Maybe she's pissed that they can't be alone, he thought bitterly. Taking a deep breath, Tim walked forward toward the table. As luck would have it, Jake saw him first. He grinned arrogantly and leaned back, his arms folded across his chest.
Well, long time no see. It's Todd, right?
He announced loudly. Tim was fuming, but decided not to give him the satisfaction of letting it show.
No, it's Tim,
he said, trying to sound pleasant. He promptly ignored Jake and turned to Donna, who looked like she was about to be sick.
I'm just here to say hi to my wife. If you'll please excuse us,
he said, taking her arm and guiding her out the front door. When they stepped out into the parking lot, she turned and tried to explain.
Tim, this is not what it looks like. If you'll just... I think you don't need to finish that sentence.
He cut her off harshly, ignoring her pained expression.
Here you are, having a pleasant dinner with the guy that you fucked me over for 7 years ago. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
He paused to gather himself.
I just wanted to say hi,
he said, feigning indifference.
Since you're having such a good time, I'll go. See you later.
He turned and walked toward his car.
Tim, please,
she begged, her voice beginning to crack. She grabbed his arm and spun him around.
This wasn't my fault. I didn't know he was going to be here. I came with Janet, so I couldn't just ask her to leave again when I walked in and saw him. Just let me come with you and I'll explain everything.
He thought for a few moments, weighing the options, then said,
Fine, I'll give you 30 seconds to say goodbye to your friends, and I'll be waiting at the front door. I'll give you a ride to your car and you can follow me home. Then we'll talk. If you're not there when I pull up, I won't be stopping.
His expression left no doubt that he was dead serious. She nodded and wiped her eyes, which had begun to tear up. He watched her hurry inside, then turned and walked to the car, wondering if there was anything she could possibly say that wouldn't result in him telling her to pack her bags.
It happened about 4 weeks ago,
Donna said, handing him a cup of coffee. She went back and poured herself a cup, then sat down, looking haggard.
I was just about to get on the elevator to go sign in when I heard a man's voice say my name. I knew it was him without having to turn around.
Her shoulders slumped, and she looked defeated.
When I asked him what he was doing there, Jake said that he was working. After he didn't make it in the NFL, he used his contacts at school to get a job as a personal trainer. He finished his degree and an alumni who is on the board of directors at the hospital got him a job at the rehab clinic. That's the building at the north end of the grounds.
Tim glared at her.
So when were you planning on telling me?
Donna studied his face, searching for any trace of sympathy, but found none.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you that day, I really am. I told him not to bother me at work, or I'd file a complaint. Since he wasn't even going to be working in the same building as me, I wasn't sure what I should do. If I told you, I knew it would bother you that he was around. I knew not telling you was wrong.
She buried her face in her hands.
I just didn't know how to handle it.
He gave her a second to compose herself, then said,
So you didn't tell me because you knew you wouldn't be seeing him?
When she nodded, he added angrily,
Then why did I find you having drinks with him today? That wasn't my fault.
She protested.
We got the night off at the last minute. Janet asked me to go out with a few of the girls for a drink after work. You said you needed to work late and I was already supposed to work until 8, so I said okay. I thought I could have a nice meal with them, bring you something home, and have the rest of the night to relax with you. When I got there, Jake was already sitting at the table. He came with one of the other girls. Janet drove me from the hospital, so there was no way I could make her leave without creating a scene. I called a cab, then sat down as far away from him as I could and just tried to ride it out. Then he went to the bathroom. When he came back, he asked the girl sitting next to me if he could switch because we were old friends from college. I tried to say no, but she moved anyway. There wasn't anything I could do without exposing everyone to our personal life. That's when you came in. Donna paused and looked at him curiously. I don't understand, how did you wind up there? Oh no, don't you dare turn this around on me. Tim warned her, his voice rising until he was almost shouting. I found out my loving wife was having dinner near my work and decided to drop by to let everyone know how special she was to me. She looked stunned by his sarcasm. I wasn't accusing you of anything, she said softly, trying to defuse the situation. I just didn't understand why, never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry that happened, it must have been awful to see him there. She turned her head and wiped at her eyes with the back of her hand. I know how angry you must be, but please believe me, I didn't tell you about him because I didn't want you to be upset over nothing. Nothing? Tim fumed. How is it nothing that your ex-boyfriend moves to town and gets a job where you work? How is it nothing that I find the two of you having drinks together? You have no idea how close you are to saying something that you won't be able to take back. Donna's expression changed to one of real fear. Honey, I didn't mean it like that. He doesn't work with me. I haven't seen him since the day I told him off. He's in another building that's not even connected to the hospital. If he had bothered me one time, I would have told you about it immediately. I told him to leave me alone the first time and never saw him again. Tim regarded her closely, trying to determine if there was anything else she was hiding. He couldn't gauge any deception from her words or mannerisms, but that didn't exactly make him feel better. The situation had caused him to doubt his own judgment as well as her trustworthiness. So you were going to tell me about it this time? He asked cynically.
Yes,
she answered, staring intently into his eyes. I called a cab and was going to take it back to work, then drive home and talk to you about it as soon as you got here. Tim raised his eyebrows in an obvious display of disbelief. This is hard for me too, she cried. I didn't want either of us having to relive it. You mean you didn't want to have to feel guilty about how you were behaving? He spat. Donna took a second to gather her thoughts, then reached across the table and touched his hand. Tim, I was wrong not to tell you, I'm sorry. I thought since I told him not to bother me that it was better not to upset you. The truth is, after how long it took for you to start really trusting me again, I was afraid that this might set us back. He shook off her hand and stood up.
Well, congratulations.
You not being honest with me about him was definitely the best way to bolster my faith in you. He stormed out of the kitchen, ignoring the sounds of her crying. Tim, would you like some dinner? Donna asked timidly. It had been 2 days since the blow-up over her after-work party, and things had been very tense. They slept in the same bed, but had hardly spoken and hadn't touched. When he arrived home from work, Tim found her quietly reading in the kitchen. Since he wasn't ready to talk, he politely said hi, then went into the den and tried to do some work on the computer. She came in a short time later to see if he was hungry. Tim sighed, his head feeling like it was going to explode.
Thank you, dinner would be nice.
Sweetheart, are you all right? She asked with obvious concern.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
He sensed her approaching from behind, then felt her warm hands touch his face. Her thumbs began a soft rotating motion against his temples, causing a wave of relaxation to wash over him. Reflexively, he leaned back against her. He found the warmth of her body and familiar scent of her perfume comforting. It made him want to believe her, made him want this whole fight to be over. If the situation was reversed, would I really be anxious to run and tell Donna my old girlfriend had come to town and contacted me? It would be the right thing, but since when do we always do what's right? He wondered. After all, it's not like I've told her everything either. All of these thoughts had been bouncing around in his head for 2 days, causing a splitting headache. It had been throbbing for hours. As he felt her tender caresses, any remaining resolve drained away. I love you, Tim, she said softly, leaning her head against his. I'm so sorry. Her voice sounded thin and afraid. He turned and really looked at her for the first time since the fight. Her eyes were swollen from crying and had dark circles under them. She was so pale it was alarming. Her shoulders sagged, almost like she had been carrying an unbearable weight. Slowly, he pulled her close and wrapped his arms around her, letting her head rest against his shoulder.
I know, sweetheart. I'm sorry too.
Tim felt her knees buckle as she fell into his lap.
I know it was stupid not to tell you about Jake. The whole thing was like a bad nightmare. I just wanted it to go away,
she whispered, sobbing softly.
Donna, I thought about it and don't know what I would have done in your place. I wish you had told me, it would have made a big difference, but I understand how awkward it was for you. I still don't like him being around you, but it's not your fault that he's here. I believe what you told me, but from now on, there can't be any more secrets. You're my wife and no matter what, we have to trust each other with everything.
She nodded, refusing to relinquish her contact with me.
No more secrets,
she promised. Tim held her tightly, hoping he had done the right thing, but unable to shed his nagging doubts.
Well, it's good you two finally started acting like a husband and wife,
Trisha scolded.
Did you tell her about the phone calls?
Tim sighed.
No, there was so much going on that it didn't come up. Seeing Trisha's disbelieving stare, he continued. Look, she was crying, I was stressed out, it just didn't seem like the right time.
So what about tonight? What will your excuse be then?
No excuses, Trisha. I'm going to talk to her about the phone calls and everything else. I know that I made a mistake by not doing it in the first place. But I'm not going to do it the day before our anniversary. We need a couple of days to ourselves before we go right back into that morass. I didn't tell her about the phone calls. There's no way to spin that without her knowing I didn't trust her. It's going to hurt and I know it. I won't do that to her before such a big day. It'll ruin everything.
Okay, but are you really going to tell her then, or are you going to keep finding reasons to put it off?
Tim looked at her in exasperation. Trisha, I know you're right, but it's difficult. I was wrong to keep it from her. Ever since she has come back, part of me has been holding back. I love her, but it's impossible for me to completely let go. I thought it would just happen as we went on, but it hasn't.
Nothing just happens, she reminded him. Pete and I have gotten where we are by talking to each other, and not being afraid to fight when it was called for. You two are wonderful together, but you still act like you're walking on eggshells sometimes, especially since that bastard called your house.
I know, and I'm sure it's my fault. The entire reason she didn't tell me is because she was afraid I'd throw it back in her face. Ever since he called, I've just been angry. I get mad about everything, most of all that I haven't done anything to deal with him. Pete told me I needed to, but instead of dealing with him, I watched her to see if she was lying to me. He looked at his friend intently. I promise you that after the anniversary I'm going to sit her down and we're going to talk. I'll tell her about his calls, I'll be honest with her about my reaction, and I am going to change. I'm going to find a way to get past this crap for once and for all. After that, I'm going to take your husband's advice and confront the son of a bitch. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I'm the one with the great job and the great life. I'm also the one she chose. That's the only thing that matters. Now that's the young man I'm so fond of, Trisha said, leaning forward to kiss his cheek. Just open your heart up to her. She won't let you down, and you two will be better than ever.
Come on, we're going to be late, Slowpoke. I thought women were the ones who were supposed to take too long to get ready, Donna chided.
Tim took a second to admire her and the beautiful red evening gown adorned with lace that she was wearing.
Well, considering the way you look, Mrs. Sullivan, I'm just trying not to embarrass you.
She beamed at the compliment.
Mr. Sullivan. She cooed. You can never embarrass me.
Donna leaned in and kissed him, lingering just long enough to hint at what was to come later.
Now go wash your face and stop making me redo my makeup.
He smiled, grateful they could repair the damage in time to properly celebrate their anniversary. Although things had been subdued, he was optimistic about how quickly they seemed to bounce back. His suspicions faded quickly, replaced by the belief that Jake had been trying to find a way to get to Donna, but that she shut him down, just like she claimed. He pushed those thoughts aside and promised himself to enjoy the moment with his beautiful bride. All we need is some time without any drama, he assured himself. We'll be fine. A half hour later, they walked into the restaurant Trisha had recommended. It was supposed to be one of the best in town, both for the food and the atmosphere. Tim watched proudly as heads turned, drawn to the beautiful woman on his arm. The waitress escorted them to the table and brought a bottle of champagne. The couple laughed and chatted happily for 15 minutes, enjoying their drinks and appetizer while they waited for the main course. Before it arrived, Donna excused herself to go to the ladies' room. Tim watched her walk away, then turned his attention to the band. They were very good, playing a selection of soft jazz that added a touch of class to the atmosphere. After several songs, he realized that he was still sitting alone, so scanned the room for Donna. He checked his watch and realized she had been gone almost 15 minutes. Where in the world is she? The stakes will be here soon, he thought. After the band finished another song, Tim started to get concerned. He rose from his chair, wondering what would be the discreet way to check the lady's room to see if she was all right.
No, really, you don't have to get up on my account, a voice said from behind.
Tim spun in shock.
What the fuck are you doing here?
He said angrily. What kind of way is that to treat an old friend? Jake asked with a malevolent smile. I was just here catching up with Donna, she'll be out in a few minutes. I really should have given her your anniversary off, but she just can't seem to control herself around me. Never has been able to.
You're a fucking liar.
Tim hissed, keeping his voice down to avoid a scene. She doesn't want anything to do with you. Jake leaned his head back and laughed like they were old friends sharing a joke.
Timmy, I've been tapping that for a month now.
You mean she hasn't said anything about it to you?
My feelings are hurt.
Next time, I might make her beg me before I'll fuck her, as punishment. Tim felt like his head was spinning. Jake has to be lying. Donna wouldn't do that to me, to us. The feelings of doubt he had experienced earlier in the week hit him like a truck. Adrenaline coursed through his body, causing him to tremble uncontrollably. His body shut down, frozen where he stood, unable to move.
I don't believe you. She'll be out here in a minute and this shit will be over, forever.
Tim said it with more conviction than he felt.
Well, far be it from me to spoil your party. But since you just won't believe me, I guess I'll have to prove it.
Did you check out the sexy black lace panties she's wearing under that pretty dress? Tim couldn't respond, realizing he hadn't seen Donna get dressed. She had been very secretive about it while they were getting ready. She told him it was a surprise for later. Jake saw his blank look and grinned.
Well, I left quite a mess. When she gets done cleaning up, ask her if she was able to salvage them. I can't believe she shaved her pussy for me now. I couldn't get her to do it in college.
Now I know you're lying, Donna doesn't.
He stopped, comprehending the gravity of what Jake was saying.
Wow, she said she did it for me, but I didn't realize she didn't give you a taste first. I've got to say, that's pretty cold, considering it's your anniversary and all. Make sure you get into it later, it's amazing.
He started to walk away, then turned back.
Oh, you might ask her to wash up first, unless you're into that kind of thing. He said, laughing as he walked away.
Tim sank into his chair feeling completely overwhelmed.
Jake had to be lying, it couldn't be true. His fragile mind held on to one piece of hope. All he had to do was prove that Jake was lying about what he had claimed. Then everything would be all right.
Donna's voice startled him out of his stupor.
Hey baby, you look lost. I'm sorry I took so long, some stupid woman spilled a drink on my dress. It took forever to get it cleaned up. I hope it doesn't stain, this is so beautiful.
Her words were like a dagger in Tim's heart.
A stain.
He echoed, his voice sounding hollow.
Yeah, but I think it will be okay.
Oh look, here's our food. The waitress was bringing the steaks. Unfortunately, the thought of food or even sitting there for another second was more than he could take.
Will you excuse me for a second?
He asked politely. Without waiting for a response, he got up and made his way toward the restrooms, the after effects of the adrenaline causing his legs to feel like rubber. Shoving open the door, he stumbled into a stall and locked it. He sat on the toilet seat and put his head in his hands, random thoughts assaulting him. He kept telling himself that it couldn't be true. But why would Jake lie and tell me something that I could confirm in a second? He reasoned. Unless he wasn't lying.
No. He whispered aloud. Trisha was right. I have to trust her. She wouldn't do that to us. Not after all this time.
But every time he thought about his loving wife, Jake's smug expression intruded. He fought the feelings, unable to discount Jake's words. Why else would he do this? He fumed, trying to see some way out other than proving it for himself. He wanted to trust her, but he had to know. He stayed in there for several minutes, first trying to compose himself, then making his plans. When he reached the table, Donna's smiling, carefree expression greeted him.
Are you feeling all right? She asked. You look a little funny.
I'm fine. He lied.
Just really hungry.
The truth was, Tim had no appetite at all, but if he didn't eat, she'd ask why. They couldn't have that conversation in the restaurant, not if he wanted to finally get to the bottom of this. They didn't speak much while eating, but if she noticed the change, she didn't mention it. When they finished, she expected him to take her to the dance floor. Instead, Tim paid the bill and told her they were going to go somewhere else. She asked where, but he insisted it was a surprise. The valet drove the car around and opened the door for Donna while Tim climbed in the driver's side. He pulled out of the parking lot and turned left toward home. They made small talk for a minute until he saw what he was looking for. The car turned into the same park that he had seen her car at, almost 2 years ago. It was the closest place to do what he had to do, and in an ironic twist, he thought it was the perfect place to find out if his marriage was really over.
What are we doing here?
She asked in confusion. Tim tried his best to sound charming.
I just wanted you alone for a few minutes. You know I love you more than anything, right?
Of course I do, sweetheart.
I love you too.
She responded without hesitation. He leaned over and kissed her, feeling an equal mix of hope and fear. She returned his kiss passionately, and he desperately tried to shut out the side of his brain that was screaming, "She betrayed you." His left hand moved down and cupped her breast, coaxing a sensual moan. Her kiss intensified as he spent a moment teasing her nipple, then moved to the other breast. After a few moments, he moved it lower. Her hips rocked in response, but when he began to pull up her dress, she broke the kiss.
"Tim, no,"
she complained. Undeterred, he changed tactics and began massaging her pubic mound through the dress, cupping her sex with his fingers. She responded more intensely than before, and he felt her softly shaking. When he moved his hand back to the hem of her dress and inched it up her legs, she protested again, but unconvincingly. When her skirt reached the top of her legs, he broke our kiss and looked down. A part of him felt like it died as the streetlight illuminated the front seat enough to see as her panties came into view. Black with lace. He processed the information with a level of composure that was startling. No longer having any doubt what he'd find, Tim decided to confirm the rest. He moved his hand to the top of her panties and slid his fingers under the waistband.
No.
She protested again, trying to stop his hand with her own.
Why, what have you got to hide?
He asked harshly. His tone stunned her, and she relaxed for a moment, allowing his hand to slide fully inside her panties.
Gee, what do we have here?
She gave him a confused look, now knowing that something was terribly wrong.
It was supposed to be a surprise for later. You always wanted me to try it. I thought after what happened this week, I'd do something special for you. Aren't you happy?
Oh, you could definitely say this is one anniversary I never expected. He said, pulling away from her and starting the car. Tim could see her out of the corner of his eye trying to cover herself.
Tim, what's going on?
She demanded, sounding more hurt than angry.
We're going home, now.
He answered, straining to keep from raising his voice.
Why, what's wrong?
Honey, please answer me. He refused to look at her. We'll be home in 10 minutes and then we can talk.
It would be better if you didn't say anything else until then.
Donna made a startled sound, then settled back into her seat. She didn't say anything until they reached the house. He snuck a glance out of the corner of his eye and could see her staring at him with concern etched on her face. He parked the car in front, making sure not to block her car in the driveway. Pushing the car door open violently, Tim ignored her and walked to the front door.
he went straight for the liquor cabinet. By the time she stormed in, he was already pouring himself a scotch.
Tim, what the hell is going on? She shouted. You've never done anything like that to me before. I will not put up with it.
He gave her a look of contempt.
Frankly, I don't give a shit what you're willing to put up with.
Her jaw dropped, and she stood looking at him in shock.
Donna, it's time to give up the act, I know everything.
Her mouth moved for a second, but nothing came out. Finally, she found her voice.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm thinking about you fucking Jake.
He growled.
What?
She shrieked.
What the hell gave you that idea? I don't care if you want to lie about it or not. We're through and I want you to go.
He said, suddenly feeling very tired.
Tim, I don't know what you think happened, but I did not have sex with Jake. This is a terrible misunderstanding. Please tell me what gave you that idea.
He tossed back the scotch and quickly poured another.
There's no need for me to explain myself. I have the proof and don't care how you try to spin this.
Since you don't want to admit it, I'd appreciate it if you'd get out of my house now.
Get out?
She cried, sagging against the couch for support.
You're throwing me out on our anniversary? What is wrong with you?
Her voice rose dramatically.
I didn't do anything with Jake. Now stop this insanity and talk to me.
Something seemed to break inside her, and her shoulders slumped as tears poured down her face.
I said I want you to get the fuck out now.
He screamed, no longer caring if the neighbors heard.
Please don't do this.
I don't understand why you won't believe me. Just talk to me, Tim.
Why won't you listen?
She cried, sounding pitiful.
Fucking conniving bitch.
He thought angrily.
Still acting like she's Miss Innocent.
It made him even more furious. I'm telling you for the last time, I want you out of my house, you good for nothing cunt.
Tim.
She said through her tears. I love you. And I hate you. Now get the fuck out. He said with as much vitriol as he could muster.
Donna was crying hysterically and looked at him with such a pained expression that he felt like dying.
Despite his anger, her reaction tore through his defenses. He had an almost uncontrollable urge to take her in his arms and comfort her. Instead, he forced himself to stand there impassively, showing no trace of compassion. Finally, Donna turned and fled the house without bothering to grab anything except her purse. Tim could hear her agonized sobs echo down the driveway as she ran for her car. He walked to the door and slammed it for effect, although there was no more anger left. Instead, he sank to the floor in a ball, his stomach feeling like it was being pulled inside out. He didn't even bother trying not to cry, as he realized sadly that this time, the pain would never go away.
Tim, I'm so sorry.
Pete said sympathetically.
Is there anything I can do?
Pete, I've got to get out of here now. I don't want to deal with her calling, I don't want to explain things to my friends or family, and I especially don't want to think about hearing from that motherfucker.
He nodded.
I understand, but I think it's time you dealt with him. You know my feelings on the matter.
I know, but not yet.
I just had my whole world ripped apart. I'm not ready to deal with it. I'm going to go find a sandy beach and get drunk for a week or two. When I get back, we can talk about what to do about him.
What about Donna?
His eyes seemed to be staring through Tim's soul. She made her choice, let her live with it. He said vindicatively. When I get back, I'll hire a lawyer and sort all that shit out.
He paused and took a deep breath.
I need you to do me a favor. You know I love Trisha more than anything, but she and Donna have gotten really close. Please let her know that I don't want either of you getting in the middle of this mess. I caught her in a lie and having drinks with the bastard, then believed her and let her make a fool out of me.
That's it, we're through.
He nodded. I understand. You don't have to worry about my wife. She loves you too. She won't be anxious to take sides. I just don't know how I'm going to break it to her. She is the one who really bought into how we should all trust Donna. I wish I could go with you instead of having to tell her. Out of all of us, she has the shortest fuse and she's going to hit the ceiling. The baby just makes it tougher.
Tim groaned, looking at his friend apologetically.
I'm sorry, Pete. I've been so caught up in my own mess, I haven't even asked.
How is she?
Did you guys decide to find out if it's a boy or a girl?
He smiled for the first time since coming over.
We decided to wait until the baby is born. They both are fine, but I'm glad it will only be another month. Living through my wife's pregnancy has been an adventure that tested everything my mom ever drilled into my head. I feel like one of those wimpy husbands. Yes, dear. I'm sorry, dear. Of course you're right, dear. It's like my worst nightmare.
Shut up, you love every second of it.
Tim teased. I've never met anyone who wants to be a father more than you. I'm surprised you don't have two rooms full of toys. One if it's a boy, one if it's a girl.
Pete looked down sheepishly, causing Tim to laugh.
You do.
Son of a bitch.
He laughed until he had to wipe the tears from his eyes.
Thank you.
Damn, I needed that. I'm packed and ready. Are you sure things will be okay at work? He raised his eyebrows. Like you'd be any use there right now.
That's the truth.
Tim agreed. They shared a quick hug and he headed out the door. That's a conversation I wouldn't want to have, Tim thought. Trish is going to be a handful when she finds out. He took one last look around the house, wondering how different things would be when he returned.
Chapter 04
Tim, it's Donna. I don't know why you believe what you do, but it's not true. Please call me.
He hit a button and the answering machine croaked.
Deleted.
Tim, where are you?
Please, I'm going out of my mind. I didn't do anything. Why won't you believe me? I'm begging you, call.
Deleted.
The messages went on and on. There were over 24. As he went from one to the next, the tone in her voice gradually changed, sounding more emotionally overwrought as they went on. He reached the last one only to find her sounding tired and detached.
Tim, don't bother trying to contact me. I was willing to listen to whatever nonsense made you believe the worst about me, but I'm done. The way you treated me was unconscionable. I didn't have any idea you could be that cruel. Now you ignore me on top of it? It's too much, and I'm not going to beg anymore. I love you and I'm sorry, for both of us. Goodbye.
Something in the tone of her message took the anger right out of him. It was already a foregone conclusion that they were through, but to hear her say it was still crushing. He had been so sure that she was the one he'd be spending the rest of his life with. Now he would have to start all over, if he even had it in him to try. The distraction of his thoughts caused him to miss the chance to delete the message, and the machine proceeded to the last one. A woman's voice, sounding nervous and uncertain, sounded through the machine.
Yes, this is for Tim Sullivan. My name is Marcy, and you need to get in touch with me as soon as possible. I'm going out of town, but I need to talk to you about your wife. You need to know the truth about what happened in the restaurant with Jake. Please don't put this off. You really need to call me right away.
I don't want to talk about it on the phone, but it's very important. My number is... Tim stood there in shock, missing the rest of the message. Who the hell was she and how did she know about the restaurant? What did she mean?
The truth?
He snapped out of it and replayed the message, writing down her number, completely forgetting about Donna's last message. Tim walked into the bar, looking around anxiously for the woman in blue jeans and a red blouse. He spotted her at the other end of the room, already seated at a booth. She half waved with a grim expression, giving him the impression that she wasn't happy to be there. He headed toward her, troubled by an uncomfortable feeling, like the stillness you sense right before a tornado strikes.
Hi, Mr. Sullivan, thank you for meeting me, she said, not extending her hand.
Marcy, he replied guardedly.
Your message was impossible to ignore. What's this about?
Right to the point, huh? She said sadly.
Good for you. Well, I don't really know where to start. This is very difficult for me to discuss.
The events of the last few weeks left him with no patience for small talk.
Listen, I don't know who you are, or what this is about, but I'm not going to play games. You said you know something about the restaurant and Jake, so start talking.
She nodded, her face reflecting shame.
I guess I can't blame you. It was a terrible thing to do. I was just hoping that it didn't cause a rift between you and your wife.
His temper flared.
A rift? He said in disbelief. She screwed her old boyfriend on our anniversary. I threw her cheating ass out of my house. Now please stop wasting my time and tell me what you want.
Marcy looked up at him sadly.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Sullivan. I swear to you I had no idea. If I had known, I never would have helped him.
Him?
Jake. She confirmed. I was the one who helped him trick you.
Trick? He said, suddenly feeling sick.
Your wife never had sex with him. She wouldn't give him the time of day.
No. Tim groaned.
You're lying. He told me. Yes, he told you exactly what he thought would keep you from believing her.
We met right after he moved here in Weave.
She paused, looking uncomfortable.
We've been intimate on and off since then. A few days before your anniversary, he called me and asked for a favor. He said that this guy who had screwed him over was going to be at this restaurant with his wife, celebrating their anniversary. Jake asked me to help him convince the guy that she was cheating on him. The way he told it, you were some awful man who was making his life miserable. He said that your wife used to go out with him, and was making terrible threats toward him at work. My head was telling me how wrong it was, but I wanted to believe him. It took some time for him to convince me, but I finally agreed to help.
She looked away, the shame she felt clearly evident on her face.
We got to the restaurant just after you and sat at the bar. After a while, Donna got up to go to the bathroom. Jake and I followed her, and he waited in the hall while I went inside. When she was washing her hands, I walked up to her with a glass of wine and you spilled it on her dress. He finished, feeling distraught at the memory of Donna trying to explain her absence.
Yes.
I apologized and told her that it was going to ruin her beautiful dress, so we needed to get someone to help. I walked out and told Jake to go ask a waiter for some club soda for the stain. It was his plan to keep her in there long enough for you to think something could have happened. I went back in and kept her busy until the waitress arrived. When she did, she took over and I just kept apologizing and tried to keep her talking. Because I spilled the wine on the bodice, she had to take it off to clean it, so the waitress ran out to get her something to put on. When she came back, Donna took off the dress and put a smock on. That's when I saw the underwear she was wearing. That was what Jake said he needed, but I noticed that the panties she was wearing were sheer and it was obvious that she, well, you know. I told her that my man loved the fact that I did that too. She seemed embarrassed, but told me that she had just done it that day to surprise her husband for their anniversary. I knew it was exactly what he needed and excused myself to go tell Jake everything. Then I went back in and tried to stall them while he talked to you. She finished her story and looked up at him sadly. That's everything. Tim wanted to scream that she was lying, that this was some kind of intricate plot, just to fuck with him. People couldn't be this devious. In the end it was all so overwhelming all he could do was make himself ask. So why are you telling me now? He was so thrilled with how well it went that he got loaded afterward. When we got back to his place, he told me the truth about everything. I was disgusted with him, but the more I thought about it, the more I hated myself.
It was idiotic to believe what he told me and worse to do something that horrible to people I didn't know. He just had a knack for convincing me to do what he wanted. After he finished bragging, he fell asleep. I left and haven't spoken to him since. To be honest, I don't think he's even noticed. Her expression showed disgust. I felt like the least I could do was make sure you knew the truth. I just hope that it wasn't too late for you and your wife. Neither of you deserve this, and I can't tell you how sorry I am for my part in it. Tim's mind swam with confusion, trying to sort out the truth from the lies. So why did it take you 2 weeks to get around to calling me? He said accusingly. She tried to make him understand her regret was sincere. If you had done something this horrible, would you be anxious to meet the person whose life you helped to destroy? Besides, I did call you several times, but got your machine. I wanted to talk to you in person. This isn't the kind of story you can leave on a machine and hope for the best. I waited as long as I could, but I'm leaving in a few days and don't know when I'll be back, so I finally left a message. They talked for a few more minutes, but she didn't have any insights into Jake's motivation. Tim wanted to be angry with her, but was too busy hating himself. Still, after everything that had happened, he knew he couldn't just take her word for it. He didn't know who to trust at this point. The only thing he could think of to do was to go back to the restaurant and try to confirm what she claimed. An hour later, Tim arrived and asked to talk to the manager. He was a well-dressed man with graying hair, who appeared to be in his early 40s. Hi, my name is Robert, how can I help you? Although he had played out a dozen scenarios on how to address what happened, in the end Tim decided the truth was the best. He told the man about Jake's claims, but didn't mention the incident in the bathroom. Mr. Sullivan, this is a fine dining establishment. I can assure you that there is nowhere on the premises that an encounter like this man described could have taken place. Well, he said, choosing his words carefully. Do you know about any unusual things happening 2 weeks ago Friday night? My wife said that there was an incident in the ladies' room with another woman and a glass of wine. Wine? He said thoughtfully, stroking his chin. That sounds familiar, let me check. He reached over and picked up his phone. Tammy, could you find Louise and send her in please? He hung up the phone and looked at me. Louise is in charge of the wait staff and would know if anything happened. They waited a moment, then a young woman in her mid-20s walked in. Yes, sir. She said formally. Louise, did anything strange happen 2 weeks ago Friday night? It would have had something to do with an accident in the ladies' room. Suddenly her eyes lit up. Oh, you mean the woman in the red dress? Tim's stomach exploded in pain so severe that he was forced to wrap his arms around it and lean forward. She gave him a strange look, but continued. There was an accident where another woman spilled some wine on her dress. I brought club soda and got her a smock from the kitchen to wear while we cleaned it. She was very nice, but terribly embarrassed about the situation. Are you her husband? He nodded, unable to say anything. She couldn't stop talking about you and your anniversary. It was so sweet. I hope I'm that happy someday. Did her dress. She stopped abruptly as he stood and rushed toward the door without a word. Did I say something wrong? She asked as he ran from the room. Tim walked hurriedly through the hospital doors, hoping to see one of Donna's friends at the front desk. The maternity ward was high security, so there would be no way to get in to see her. The best he could hope for was to find someone he knew to try to help. Unfortunately, the two women behind the front desk didn't look familiar. He took a deep breath and walked up to them. Hi, I'd like to talk with Donna Sullivan, please. She's a nurse in the maternity ward. He added, trying to sound nonchalant. The older woman eyed him wearily. And you are? He couldn't help letting out a small sigh of disappointment. Her expression wasn't pleasant. I'm her husband, Tim. She turned to the other nurse and they shared a look. I'm sorry, sir, Mrs. Sullivan expressly asked not to be bothered. He could almost hear the unspoken phrase, by you. He thought quickly. Could I leave her a note? The first woman shrugged her shoulders. If you'd like. I'll make sure someone leaves it in her box. Tim quickly scribbled down an apology, making sure to tell her he knew that she had done nothing wrong and how terrible he felt for the way he treated her. It seemed terribly empty, but he had to find a way to get her to talk so he could tell her everything. He begged her to call anytime, promising to meet anywhere she wanted. After signing it, loved him, he felt a wave of guilt rush over him, remembering his astonishingly harsh words for her. Feeling humiliated, he handed it to the nurse, who acted as if just touching it was offensive. Tim thanked her and left, wondering if Donna would ever even see it. Oh, Tim, Tricia said sadly. What are you going to do? I don't know, he answered. She won't see me at all. It's been 2 days and I've been to the hospital 3 times. Her cell phone is disconnected. I even tried calling her mom, but I'll spare you the gory details. Suffice to say, I won't be getting a Christmas present from my mother-in-law this year. Seeing Trisha's distraught expression, he quickly added. But I don't want you getting upset about it. This is my mess and I'll find a way to fix it. Donna's got to be hurting so much, she said, wiping a tear from her eye. She hasn't talked to either of us since just after you left. I told her we couldn't get in the middle and that the only thing I knew was you said you had proof she cheated. I told her if she needed to talk I was here for her, but she hasn't called back. She must believe we take your side. Tim nodded in agreement, feeling his own tears begin to flow. The last 2 days had been the hardest of his life, far outdistancing the pain he felt at Donna's supposed betrayal. He had thrown away a wonderful marriage based on the word of a man he despised, not to mention the horrible things he said to the only woman he had ever loved. His misery combined with the guilt had been overwhelming.
At least Pete found a way for me to deal with what I've done, he said with an effort to appear hopeful. Your husband took one look at me and told me to go straight to HR and ask Monique for the number of the family counselor the company recommends to their employees. As soon as I find a way to talk to her, I'm going to let her know that I will be going until I find a way to fix the problems I've been dealing with since she came back. I'm not going to stop until I know that I can be the man she deserves. I'm going to make sure she knows it too. Just don't you give up, no matter what it takes, she said, drying her eyes. That's the easiest promise I'll ever make, he replied. They hugged and he went to the living room where he met Pete. They walked toward the front door, where Tim's friend leaned in closely and whispered. You know, there's something else you have to do. I know, Tim said quietly. It's something that should have been taken care of a long time ago. So what do you want to do about it? He looked at him with a quiet fury burning in his eyes. I want to kill him. It was just after 10 o'clock when Jake finally stumbled out of the bar toward the parking lot. It only took the private eye 4 hours to find him someplace away from prying eyes. Tim smiled, thinking about how convenient having money could be. He watched the larger man walk toward him with his head down, lost in some thought. As Jake came closer, he finally noticed the man sitting on his trunk, staring at him. Hey you, what are you doing on my car? He said threateningly. Tim couldn't refrain from answering sarcastically. Aren't you Joey, that washed-up football player? He laughed. Well, it's the computer geek, he said mockingly. How's the wife? We'll be fine, Jake. You, on the other hand, have been a really bad boy. He came closer. Are you planning to do something about it? What if I am? We did this dance before. It doesn't turn out too well for you. Maybe you should walk away and let her be with the guy she's supposed to be with, like you did last time. Oh, this isn't going to be anything like college, Jake, Tim said confidently. Jake sneered. Yeah, why is that? Well, in college, you had all your friends around you. This time it's my turn. He looked around apprehensively. What's that supposed to mean? It means, dumbass, that you are in a shitload of trouble, came a baritone voice from behind him. Jake spun, and to Tim's delight, the color drained from his face as a hulking figure stepped out of the shadows. The man was African-American, standing 6'4" tall and weighing in the neighborhood of 300 pounds, although he constantly told his wife he was down to 280. Although he had lost some of the muscle that made him an All-American defensive end and a sure-fire first-round draft pick, he still was a person that made virtually everyone he met step aside when he passed. If it hadn't been for the horrific knee injury in his senior year of college, Tim probably would have never met him. Jake, I'd like you to meet my friend Pete. He looked over his shoulder, trying not to appear unnerved. Hey, listen, I don't want any trouble, he stammered. He turned back to face Pete, while slowly backing away. Motherfucker, you've got nothing but trouble, Pete growled. Jake looked around for a way to escape, then evidently decided that he had no other choice, so sprung at him, hitting him with a body block. Tim saw his momentum move Pete back about a step, then he calmly grabbed the smaller man under one shoulder and, using his knee for leverage, threw Jake a good 5 feet. He landed with a terrible thud on his back, the concrete knocking the wind out of him. Pete was on him in a flash, sitting on his chest, a knee on each arm to keep him from fighting back. Now helpless, Jake watched as Pete brought a huge hand back and struck him hard across the cheek. Tim watched with satisfaction as Pete hit him over and over. That's enough. I think he got the point. He looked over and nodded. It's your party. He rose slowly, then added, This is for messing with my little brother. Dropping back down with a tremendous shot to Jake's ribs. Tim could hear the crack and winced, unable to stop himself from wondering ironically if Jake would be doing his own rehab, or if he'd have to hire someone. Pete stood back up and stepped away, leaving Jake writhing on the ground in agony. He looked over to Tim, who moved close. You listen to me, you son of a bitch. He hissed, close to Jake's ear. You got off light. The only reason that Pete got to kick your ass was because he was afraid of what I was going to do. If you ever bother Donna again. To accentuate the point, he pulled out a modified stun gun he had worked on with the guys in engineering. It had just enough juice to be painful, and leave a tingling that Jake would remember well into the night. Ah! He screamed as Tim hit him in the groin with a jolt. Jake stopped rolling and Tim knew he had his full attention. He grabbed Jake's face with one hand and stared into his eyes. Do you believe I don't know how to take care of you? Really? Don't ever fuck with my wife again! He leaned close and whispered menacingly. Listen up, I want some answers, and everyone I don't believe is going to earn you another little kiss from my toy here, do you get me? Jake looked up at him in shock, wondering if Tim had lost his mind. Are you crazy? He started to ask, but was cut off by another jolt, drawing a strangled cry. Okay, he begged. What do you want to know? Pete watched out for trouble as Tim made sure he got all the answers he was looking for. When he was finished, he stepped away. Now Jake, in case you get the idea to whine to anyone about our little talk here, I want to point something out to you. Do you see that brown four-door across the street? He said, pointing at a parked car. When Jake nodded, he continued. That's the private eye I hired to find you. He's got pictures of this visit, including us trying to talk to you and you responding by attacking Pete here. I'd hate to have to add felony assault and drunk and disorderly to what you're already facing. What do you mean, what I'm already facing? He asked, confused. Do you know a man named Thomas Walker? Jake eyed him carefully. That's my boss at the clinic, he answered, holding his side. Well, as soon as you feel up to returning to work, he wants to see you.
You are going to have a long talk with him about stalking women who work at the hospital, and creating problems between the clinic and one of their biggest business partners. He also golfs with Pete here on the weekends, Tim added with a wink at his friend. He doubted Jake would think to check up on that little white lie, and it would be a good way to keep him looking over his shoulder. And he doesn't appreciate having to clean up messes like this for low-level employees, Pete added. So I'm not going to be talking to you again, Jake, Tim said calmly. But that doesn't mean I'm not having someone pay attention to the kind of shit you're doing. My advice would be to move to a better climate now before things get more difficult for you, but that's your call. However, if you ever see Donna again, I suggest you run, don't walk, in the opposite direction. If she tells me she even saw you, I promise you that I'm going to turn your life to shit. Do you believe me? He hissed, letting the stun gun hover inches above his body menacingly, then hitting the button causing the electricity to arc brightly in the dimly lit parking lot. Yes, yes, Jake whined. I'm sorry. He stepped away and headed toward the car, quickly climbing in. As they pulled out of the lot, Pete looked at Tim and asked, Do you feel better? He shook his head resolutely. I don't give a fuck about him. I just want to find Donna. 3 days later, nothing had changed. Donna was ignoring all of Tim's attempts to contact her. Around noon, Pete received the call that Trisha had gone into labor. We're leaving now, he relayed. If you want, you could come with us and see what happens. Tim chuckled despite his mood. Thanks, buddy, but somehow I doubt they're going to believe I'm a relative. Go take care of your wife and meet your baby. I can't wait to hug them both. Trust me, you guys are what's keeping me going through this. Pete wanted to say more, but couldn't find the words. It hurt him so much to see Tim like this, and he ached for Donna as well. He wasn't used to feeling helpless, and didn't like it. As he hung up the phone, he heard his wife call his name, and happily bounded up the stairs, grateful for his good fortune, and hopeful that he could find a way to make his last-ditch idea work. Tim finished up Pete's work, which he had agreed to take care of, then let Rhonda know everything was done, and that he was leaving early. He had an important meeting that he couldn't miss. An hour later he walked into the house, wishing more than anything that he could avoid the upcoming conversation. I just can't believe it, his mother said, disturbed beyond words at the turn of events. How could you do something like that? Mom, I wish I had an answer. I was angry, I was hurt, and I thought there was proof that she had cheated on me. After not telling me he talked to her, then seeing them together at that restaurant, I just lost it. I didn't want to hear what she had to say. I was sure it was all lies. And now? He sighed. Now I know the truth. Now I see how badly I screwed up this whole thing. All I had to do was be honest with her about him calling our house and we would have put it together. She is the only woman I've ever loved, even after college when I pretended that she was nothing to me. After everything she went through to make me believe, I still kept her from getting all the way inside my heart. I was a scared, stupid idiot. Diane leaned forward, pulling her only son tightly against her, trying to comfort him. He accepted the gesture before gently pulling away. I've thought of everything possible, even getting the private eye to help me get in touch with her. I'm just afraid that if she feels like I'm pushing too hard, she'll resent it. It would just push her away and I might never get to make this right. The thing that keeps running through my mind is how carefully she acted around me when she came back. If she had come storming and saying how sorry she was, I'd have told her to get lost and never open myself up to her again. The way she acted, it threw me off balance, which made me want to keep talking to her. That's what gave us a chance to get through the bad memories. That has to be the best way to get through to her. Tim, I've never talked to you about the things Donna said to me during that time. I promise you she never believed you'd forgive her. She wanted to see me, because she wanted to find a way to help take away the pain she had put you through. I told her that it was best to give you space, and maybe that's what you need to do right now as well. That's unacceptable, Tim said firmly. She's suffering right now because of me. I have to find a way to at least let her know how I really feel. If she needs time after that, I will respect her wishes. I just need to find a way to get through to her. Tim, I can't tell you what to do, and I can't promise you what will work. You've hurt her terribly. What I can do is tell you that she loves you with all her heart. After all the conversations we had, I believe more than anything that even when she made those horrible mistakes, she loved you the way that you love her. Maybe what you need is to make sure she knows you understand that. Tim pondered her words quietly, suddenly an idea occurring to him. Thanks, Mom, he said, giving her a hug. I think I understand what I have to do. I just feel stupid that I didn't get it a long time ago. He left and drove home, trying to convince himself that it wasn't too late. When he stepped through the front door, he knew something was wrong. Things appeared to be moved around, and some of her possessions were missing. Donna, Tim called out cautiously. He went up to their bedroom and found more of her personal items gone. The closet was open and her side was empty. His shoulders slumped, and he walked back down the stairs. When he had come back from the 2-week vacation, there were only a few necessities missing. It looked like Donna had taken just enough to survive, probably hoping to come back home. There was enough gone now that it seemed likely she wasn't planning on ever coming back. He walked back into the living room and noticed the envelope. Tim wasn't sure how he missed it the first time, but it was in the center of the coffee table. With shaking hands, he picked it up and opened the flap. As he pulled out the note inside, there was a soft clink. He looked down to see Donna's engagement ring bounce off of the table and onto the floor. Tim bent over and picked it up, his breath catching in his throat. Clutching it in one hand, he opened the letter and read.
Tim, you can have this back now. I don't need it anymore. Please don't try to contact me at the hospital again. You made your feelings about me clear. I want you to know that other than the two times you already know about, I haven't seen or even spoken to Jake since college. There is nothing that could make me want to be with that man again. You are all I wanted, although I don't expect you to believe me. I love you and am sorry that you couldn't trust me. I realize some of this is my fault for the mistakes I've made, and for that I am sorry. There is nothing of yours that I want. You can keep your house and everything in it. Just let me go, and we can try to get on with our lives. Donna, when Pete called 2 hours later to tell him about little Cynthia Marie, Tim tried to sound happy for him, but it was obvious that his heart wasn't in it. He didn't say anything about the ring or letter because this was a time for Pete to be concerned about his family. After giving him a chance to tell all the details about the birth and how mother and daughter were doing, Tim told him to give Trisha a kiss and said goodnight. Hours later, he fell asleep on the couch, still staring at the ring and wondering if there was anything that could possibly undo this mess.
Hello?
The woman's voice answered, sounding openly hostile.
Caroline, it's Tim,
he said out of courtesy. It was obvious from her tone that she knew who was calling.
Can I please talk to you for a second?
Just when Tim thought she was going to hang up on him again, she hesitated. Maybe it was something in his voice this time, or perhaps it was something else, but she gave him a small opening.
Go ahead,
she said grudgingly. He took a deep breath, gratefully giving silent thanks for finally catching a break.
Caroline, I did a terrible thing. The reasons aren't important, although I want you to understand that I know Donna didn't do anything wrong. I'll tell you what happened if you want me to, but they are just excuses. The bottom line is that I hurt your daughter terribly because of my jealousy and insecurity.
There was silence on the line as he paused to give her the chance to interject.
Go on,
she said, giving him a ray of hope.
The only thing that matters right now is that Donna understands that I never meant the horrible things I said to her, even when I believed the worst. I said them because I was hurt, but they were just to try and make her feel what I was feeling. There was never any time, not a second, that I hated your daughter. She is the best thing that ever happened to me, and I will love her until the day I die.
Well, Caroline said, that certainly sounds more like the young man I thought I knew. But Donna is devastated. I don't believe that there's anything you can say to make up for what you did.
No, there isn't,
he agreed.
But I'm not important right now. Since you won't talk to me, I want to tell you what happened. If you understand how it did, maybe there's something you can do for her.
He struggled to find the words, realizing that his prepared speech wasn't going to move her. He needed to reach deeper and tell her how he really felt.
If something happened to me tomorrow, she'd think I actually believed the terrible things I said for the rest of her life, and I can't let that happen. At least if she knows the truth, it might not be as painful for her. Even if she can't forgive me, I need her to know how I really feel.
Fine, she said, a little more relaxed.
You tell me what happened, and I'll tell her. I won't promise anything else.
Tim held his hand over the phone as he breathed a huge sigh of relief.
All I ask is that you meet me somewhere. If I'm going to tell you everything, I can't do it over the phone. I'll fly out there tonight if you want me to.
He crossed his fingers, hoping she would see the logic in his request. He knew there was no way to really make her see how sincere he was if she couldn't see him.
That won't be necessary, she said stiffly.
Why? He replied, his hopes crashing.
Because I'm already here.
Yes, he thought gratefully, resisting the urge to cheer.
Where do you want to meet and when? Do you think that will really work?
Pete asked doubtfully. Tim shrugged his shoulders.
If Caroline knows everything, at least Donna will too. It might not get me any closer to her winning her back, but that can wait. I tried to sleep last night, but all I could do was lie there and think about her sitting in bed somewhere alone. Just imagine how much she's suffering.
He shook his head sadly.
The things I said to her, then I threw her out, on our anniversary.
Pete put his hand on Tim's shoulder reassuringly.
It was a terrible mistake, but beating yourself up isn't going to solve anything.
Tim nodded.
I know, but until I'm sure she's okay, there's no way I'll be able to deal with this. You still haven't seen her at the hospital, right?
He shook his head.
I know she's there, but I only get to go straight from the door to Trish's room. I feel bad about it, she and Trish had gotten so close. She must be avoiding us because she thinks we'll try to get in the middle of things. Look, Pete, you've done way more than I have any right to ask. Trisha warned me not to jump to conclusions, but I didn't listen. This is the time for you to take care of your wife and little girl. I got myself into this mess, I'll find a way out. If you see Donna, don't do anything but introduce her to Cynthia. I know that would mean the world to her right now. I guess you're right, but I still wish we could help.
Me too, he said sadly. But this is something I need to do myself. There was a brief silence while they both struggled to find the right words. Finally, Pete broke the awkward pause.
So where are you going to meet her?
He asked quietly. It was just after 5 o'clock when Tim walked into the restaurant. After briefly checking up and down the aisles, he spotted Caroline sitting in a booth between two other empty ones, facing the door. He took a deep breath to steady himself, then walked toward her, grateful the booths had tall backs so they'd have some privacy.
Caroline, he said nervously.
Tim, she replied tersely. Her greeting wasn't as cold as he had anticipated. He tried to take comfort from that small mercy. He slid into the seat facing her and took a sip of the water the waiter had brought. She glanced down, and he wondered if she saw how much it was shaking.
How is she? He asked. How do you think she is?
Came the hostile reply, causing him to wince.
Look, Tim, I'm not here for pleasantries. I always like you, and that's the only reason that I'm giving you the opportunity to talk.
I? Her voice trailed off, and she looked over his shoulder, momentarily losing her train of thought. Snapping her eyes back to him, she continued.
I wanted to know how you could have acted that way toward my daughter. She loves you more than anything, and from what she told me, you were positively cruel.
Looking down, he tried to think of a way to explain his actions. Instead, he thought about how he'd been avoiding the truth with Donna and what it had led to.
The truth, just tell her the truth, the voice screamed in his head. He took another deep breath and decided to plunge headfirst.
I was cruel, he said, looking at her.
Mean, selfish, and cruel.
His response seemed to startle her.
I believed the worst about her, and instead of acting like a man and talking about it, I made the worst mistake of my life. Everything I said to her was me trying to make her feel as badly as I did. It was juvenile, and she didn't deserve any of it. Then when I found out she was innocent.
Tim stopped, unable to find any words to express the rush of emotions he felt.
It took 2 years, but I finally understand why Donna came to see me, and why she said what she did.
Seeing Caroline's confused expression, he pressed on.
Your daughter isn't just the woman I married, she's part of my heart, and has been since the day I met her. I don't want to find her so I can say I'm sorry and hope she forgives me. I need to find her so I can try to take away the pain I caused. The idea of her suffering, it's more than I can take. I feel like I'm dying inside. When she hurt me in college, she had to live with that pain for years. Finding out she was wrong about Jake, having to leave school.
He looked into Caroline's eyes empathetically.
Losing her father, it was all too much. There was no way to absorb that much pain. The one part of it she could control was to find a way to help me. She knew if she could make some of my pain go away, then there was a way she could heal and go on with her own life.
Well, that's exactly how I feel now. I can't just go on and let her be in pain because of me. She might never forgive me, maybe she shouldn't. He said sadly. But what I can do is to make amends for what I did to her. If she can understand what happened and why, then I will accept whatever she decides. Even if it's a future without me. He finished with a great deal of difficulty.
Caroline's eyes seemed to soften.
What on earth made you think she would have taken up with that man in the first place?
She asked. Tim looked down at his hands.
He told me.
He heard her gasp, but was feeling so disoriented the sound seemed to come from everywhere. He took a quick sip of water and tried to clear his head.
It started a couple of months ago. He called the house one day, then hung up after asking for her. After that there were more calls from a number I didn't know, but there were no messages. I didn't tell Donna about it because I was suspicious about why he'd have our number. When I found her at the restaurant with her friends and him, it was almost the end. I was so angry.
He paused to sip his water.
Donna gave me a couple days to cool down, then explained everything and apologized. She was so sincere that I forgave her. But there was still a part of me that just couldn't fully accept what she was saying. I tried to tuck it away and enjoy the anniversary, but I know it was still there, eating away at me. When we got to the restaurant, Donna left for the restroom. About 15 minutes after she left, Jake showed up and told me they'd been having sex since he moved to town. He also said that she was gone so long because they were together in the back of the restaurant.
He paused, finding it incredibly difficult to continue. Caroline didn't have the same problem.
So a man you hate walks up and tells you he's having sex with your wife and you just believe him? She said incredulously.
No, he said, carefully trying to avoid sound like he was making excuses.
I told him it was a lie, but he said he had proof.
What kind of proof?
She asked, bewildered.
This is going to sound crazy. A woman spilled a drink on Donna in the restroom. She had to get out of her dress to clean it before it was ruined. The woman was Jake's friend and ran out to tell him what she was wearing and a couple of personal details. That's how he convinced me he was telling the truth.
She sat back, clearly stunned.
He went through all that.
For what?
Tim shrugged his shoulders. He claimed that he never got over her leaving him. When he moved here for the job and found out she was working at the hospital, he thought he could come between us. He used a couple of her friends at work to get information about what was going on in our lives. They never had any idea that they shouldn't talk to him about it, or what he would do. None of that matters. He isn't going to be bothering her again. He finished resolutely.
Caroline took a moment, appearing to gather herself.
Tim, I'm sorry. Neither of you should have had to deal with something like that.
She looked down for a moment, still trying to take everything in.
But that doesn't excuse the way you treated my daughter.
He looked at her sincerely.
Nothing could excuse the way I acted. I love her more than anything, yet I did everything I could to hurt her. Every night I tried to sleep, but just lay there thinking about how she must be feeling, wishing I could hold her and tell her I didn't mean it. I know it doesn't make much difference, but I'm so sorry I don't know how to even begin to tell her, or you. I would do anything to be able to take it back.
It didn't take any theatrics on Tim's part to make the tears come. After days of his emotions being on edge, the strain of talking to Caroline pushed him past his breaking point.
Please excuse me.
He sputtered, rising with the intent to go to the men's room. As he stood, she caught his arm.
No, don't go.
She said so abruptly it surprised him. Her voice softened.
I mean.
Could you tell me why?
When Tim could only stare in confusion, she took his hand.
Why didn't you talk to her? I don't pretend to understand why you could have believed what he told you, but all you had to do was tell her what he said. She's your wife, why didn't you ask her?
Here it is, the moment of truth, he thought. After endless soul-searching,
Tim finally understood it himself, but explaining it to Donna's mother was a different matter entirely. He took a deep breath, knowing that he needed to make her understand. It was too important to hold back. "It's because I expected her to leave."
"What?"
came the half-question, half-outraged reply.
"Caroline, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told Donna. I should have, but was afraid to. I'm ashamed of myself for holding it back because I think we could have avoided everything if I just hadn't been so afraid. The night that I found out about Donna and Jake, something happened after I left. Jake followed me out of the house and said some things about her, bad things. I went a little crazy and took a swing at him."
She regarded him doubtfully.
"You two had a fight?"
"Well, I guess you could call it a fight. It was more like me volunteering to be his punching bag. I wound up in the hospital and it was a week before I was up to going back to school and getting my stuff." She squeezed his hand sympathetically. "Even though I thought I had forgiven Donna, part of me couldn't let it go. What happened in college proved every negative thing that had been said to me or that I had thought about myself while I had been growing up."
"What do you mean?"
He pulled his hands away and began rubbing them together nervously. "That I wasn't good enough for someone like her. Someday, no matter how much I loved her or how hard I tried to make something of myself, someone like Jake could walk in and take her away from me." Caroline's eyes began to show comprehension.
"Someone like Jake?"
she repeated.
"Someone better looking, more popular, stronger. No matter how much I loved Donna, he decided he liked her, then walked in and took her. There was nothing I could do. It made me feel weak, pathetic, and helpless. When he moved here, I was afraid it would happen again. He just told me exactly what I was expecting to hear, deep down."
He dropped his head, unable to look her in the eye.
"Tim Sullivan, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say."
His head spun around, unable to believe what he'd heard. Donna was standing next to him, caught between looking furious and heartbroken.
"Donna?"
he stuttered.
"What are you doing here?"
She sat down next to him and threw her arms around his neck, pulling him against her tightly. Her hands turned his head toward hers, wiping his tears away. Her lips found his, kissing him hungrily. Tim's confusion was forgotten at her touch. He brought a hand up to caress her face and realized it was wet.
"You're crying," he said worriedly.
He peered anxiously into her eyes, everything suddenly rushing back.
"Donna, I'm so sorry about what I said. Please believe me."
She put her fingertips across his lips, stopping him mid-sentence.
"I heard you, Tim, and I do believe you,"
she cried, resting her head against his shoulder.
"I missed you so much."
He couldn't think of anything to say that didn't involve the words, "I'm sorry," so settled for holding her and stroking her hair as she sobbed. Having her warmth against him again was like finally waking from a terrible nightmare. Their surroundings faded away as he held her for what seemed like hours, wordlessly assuring her of his love with tender caresses. Finally, Tim allowed the situation to intrude on their intimacy.
"What in the world are you doing here?"
he asked, turning his eyes from her to Caroline.
"Don't look at me."
Her mother protested.
"I didn't know anything about it."
"Then how?"
he started to ask.
"Well, that's kind of a long story," came the reply from the next booth. The voice was deep and powerful. Tim would have known it anywhere.
"Son of a bitch," he said, standing up.
"Pete?" He was sitting in the booth next to theirs, facing Tim with a grin from ear to ear.
"You told me you hadn't seen her.
What the hell is going on?"
Donna pulled him back down beside her.
"It's my fault, Tim. When Trisha came to the hospital having contractions, of course I wanted to be there for her. I just asked them not to talk about you or tell you that they'd seen me. It wasn't fair for them to be in the middle of our mess at a time like that. There was no way I was going to miss my goddaughter's birth."
Pete moved to their booth and sat down next to Donna's mother, taking her hand in a greeting. The two then turned back to stare at the young couple and he spoke.
"I feel bad for not telling you about seeing her, but both of you were asking us to stay out of it, and I didn't want to take the chance of making it worse by interfering. That is, until you got Caroline to talk to you. That was just too perfect to pass up. I had been working on a way to help, but needed a catalyst. This was exactly what I'd been hoping for."
Donna chimed in.
"Trisha insisted that I needed to hear what really happened and why you reacted the way you did. I tried to tell her that I wasn't ready. After all, I gave you 2 weeks and you wouldn't even talk to me." She paused, not wanting to take the conversation back in a negative direction.
"I'm sorry. I was so upset by what I thought happened, that I went away for a couple of weeks. Nobody knew where I was, not even my folks. I wish I could take it back. I wish I could take it all back," he whispered, caressing her face.
"I love you. Not again," Pete said sarcastically.
"You two definitely need some alone time."
They all shared a laugh. "There's one question I have that hasn't been answered yet," Donna said, looking at Tim with a raised eyebrow. "The whole hospital was talking about Jake coming into the emergency room in bad shape the other night. You wouldn't happen to know anything about it, would you?"
"Don't look at me," he said defensively, staring at Pete.
"Peter Briggs," she said accusingly.
"You did that, with your wife due to give birth any day? What if you had gotten hurt or arrested? What were you thinking?"
"It's not my fault," he said, giving her his best ah shucks expression. "I was just there to make sure nothing happened to your husband and the fool attacked me. I swear that boy isn't too bright," he said, clearly amused. Donna tried to keep up her stern expression, but failed and broke into a grateful smile.
"Whatever you were thinking, thank you."
She got out of the booth and leaned over, kissing him on the cheek. He broke into the broadest grin imaginable.
Tim spoke up. "We really were there just to warn him not to mess with you again. The situation got out of control. On the bright side, I don't think Jake will be bothering us anymore. Since he pulled that stunt away from the hospital, we can't exactly get him fired for what he did, but our company has a lot of influence because of all the business we conduct with them. Someone will be talking to him to let him know he doesn't have a long future at the rehab clinic, or any other one, if he harasses you again. Tim allowed himself to smile. Besides, somehow I doubt he'll be anxious to see Pete again. Pete chuckled. You would have been proud of your husband. He was positively spooky. Donna gave Tim another questioning stare, but he shook his head so she let it pass. Pete. Caroline, I hope you don't mind, but I really want to take my wife home. It has been far too long since she was there. He took Donna's hand, suddenly feeling overwhelmed by his emotions. Plus, I have a lot of making up to do. She smiled and kissed him again. She moved her lips to his ear and whispered, You've got that right, buddy. They all rose to leave. Tim gave her mother a firm hug, whispering, Thank you for this chance, Caroline. I promise you won't be sorry. She brushed her hand against his cheek affectionately. I believe you, Tim. The door to their home burst open, the young couple oblivious to anything but each other. Their caresses turned to kissing, which led to them exploring each other so aggressively that they stumbled into the wall. Donna broke away, trying to catch her breath. Tim, I need to tell you something. Shh, he scolded. No more talking. I need you right now. She nodded and pulled him close. After a few seconds of frantic kissing, she broke away and hurried toward the stairs, pausing to look over her shoulder briefly, then running up. Tim took in the breathtaking picture, her long hair falling across her cheek, giving her a look of youthful innocence that staggered him. Shaking his head to force himself into motion, he jogged toward the stairs, giving thanks to whatever power had brought her back. When he reached the top, he took a deep breath to calm himself before walking through the bedroom door. Rounding the corner, he saw Donna standing in front of the bed, her blouse unbuttoned, hanging loosely. The material parted just enough to see the swell of her breasts, a tantalizing glimpse of the treasure just out of sight. You look amazing, he said, drinking in every detail. Thank you, she said, pointing her finger then curling it toward herself, beckoning him closer. He crossed the room and kissed her lightly, stepping back as he pulled apart the blouse to watch her breasts come into view. Her nipples were erect and there were goose bumps all over her skin. He leaned close and softly blew across her naked flesh, drawing a shudder. Tim, I want you so much. I've missed you more than you know. Her hands touched his face and she kissed his forehead, then rested against him. I didn't know how I was going to make it without you. The hardest thing I've ever done was take off my ring. Oh no! She said abruptly. He pulled back, looking into her eyes with concern. What's wrong? My ring. I want my ring. Please, can you wait while I get it? Tim was surprised to see real distress apparent on her face. I don't think that will be a problem, he assured her. Reaching into the top of his shirt, he pulled a small gold chain until her ring popped into view. I had to keep it close. It was the only way I was going to get through that meeting with your mother. Donna smiled ruefully. I know what you mean. There was no need to elaborate. Tim now understood completely how painful it had been for her to seek out his mom years before. So why did you keep the wedding ring but leave this one? She sighed. I was so angry I was going to leave both, but there was a part of me that just couldn't give up hoping there was a way to fix whatever was wrong. I had to hold on to something from you just in case. You know how important that ring is to me. I knew that leaving it would let you know how hurt I was, and how serious things were. He stared intently into her eyes. I did understand, and I am truly sorry for the things I said. More importantly, I'm sorry that I didn't trust you when it mattered. It's a mistake I'll never make again. Here, he said, unhooking the necklace and sliding the ring off. He placed it on her finger. Now things are the way they should be. She looked at the ring for a moment, then back at my eyes. Not until you're inside me. Tim touched her shoulder tenderly, letting his fingertips brush her blouse further over until it began sliding down her arm. She reached up to help, but he shooed her hand away. Patience, he scolded. His fingertips slid up her arm, across her shoulder, then down to her breasts, where they skimmed across her chest, taking a moment to circle her nipple several times before resuming the journey. He delighted in watching her breasts rise and fall with her breath as it quickened, signifying her heightened arousal. His fingers reached the other shoulder and began sliding the material down her arm as slowly as he could, leaning in to kiss the skin as it was exposed. He gripped her sleeve near her wrist and tugged gently, watching the cloth fall away from one side completely. Instead of shrugging off the garment, Donna raised her other hand, inviting him to finish at the pace he desired. Tim gently urged her to sit down on the bed, kneeling between her legs and kissing his way back up her arm, across her shoulder, then down to her breast. He ran his tongue lazily across her skin to her nipple, then fastened his lips around it, nibbling as she threw her head back at the sensation. Tim could feel her heartbeat, taking his time to delight in the simple pleasure of feeling her close again. Finally, he moved his lips up to her shoulder, then down her other arm as he pulled her sleeve free, tossing the shirt to the floor. He put a hand on her shoulder, causing her to lie back as his fingers stroked her breasts. When she reclined fully, he slowly dragged both hands down her body, drawing a moan of approval. Tim popped the snap on her jeans, then eased the zipper down. His hands gripped the belt loops and pulled, while Donna lifted her hips to help. After they joined her blouse on the floor, he worked his way up the inside of her legs, pausing to pay attention to every erogenous zone discovered over years of time together. His fingers slid behind her knees, stroking the sensitive areas as he eased her legs apart, nibbling his way up her thigh. When he reached her panties, he hooked a finger under the side, sliding it over. He leaned close enough for her to feel his breath.
Tim, please stop teasing me. I need you. She begged.
With a secret smile, he drew a deep breath, then blew softly across her lips. Donna shuddered, trying to move her hips toward him, but he stubbornly maintained his distance.
No cheating. He scolded softly.
He moved his mouth forward, running his tongue across her panties, tracing the cleft of her sex softly. Donna moaned, her hips writhing on the bed. Tim took both of her hands and pinned them by her sides, using his unfettered access to run his tongue up and down, steadily increasing the pressure. She twisted in his grasp, desperate to force contact where she knew she'd find relief. Instead, he moved his tongue to the side, sliding it along the junction of the material and her skin.
I'm so close. She pleaded.
I know. He teased, sucking gently at the sensitive skin mere inches from what she craved. Donna squealed in frustration, trying to will herself to orgasm.
Are you ready?
He said, looking up at her from between her legs.
Please, Tim.
She practically shouted.
Don't move your arms.
He warned her playfully. He grabbed her panties roughly and pulled them to the side, closing his mouth over her clit.
Yes.
She cried in relief. Tim sucked the tender bud between his lips, flicking his tongue rapidly against it. He felt her hand in his hair, holding him in place, and promptly pulled away.
No.
She moaned in disapproval.
What did I say?
Donna made a pouting noise, then put her arms back down, lowering her hips to the bed, waiting impatiently for him to resume.
That's better.
He admonished, lowering his mouth again. His lips resumed their assault of her clit, this time alternately sucking it between, then letting it slide back out. Donna laid on the bed, forcing herself not to move as the tremors began, moving outward from her core, each ripple larger than the next. Sweat poured from her face as she fought to remain still, desperate to keep from giving him an excuse to tease her further.
Oh fuck!
She shrieked, as the orgasm finally struck, her entire body shaking from the release of the energy. It felt like an explosion inside as she forced her eyes shut, seeing stars from the exertion. She gave up trying to obey him, grabbing his head firmly and holding him in place as her body thrashed on the bed, the waves from the climax extending longer than she could ever remember.
Stop, please!
She shrieked, pushing his face away. Tim stood up, calmly undressing, watching her body go through its final gyrations. Her skin was covered in a fine sheen of perspiration, causing her breasts to glisten and the sunlight spilling across the bed. He watched in open admiration as her breathing slowly returned to normal, the heaving of her chest fading into a regular rhythm.
God, you're beautiful!
He declared in open admiration. He dropped his slacks and underwear, then slid between her legs, kissing his way back up her body.
I love you, Tim. She said, a tear running down her cheek. I'm so happy to be home.
He brushed her lips gently with his own as he slid himself inside her, finally feeling like his life was as it should be. Donna threw her head back, moaning her encouragement.
Do you think you can top that?
She asked, her body quivering in anticipation of another orgasm.
I'm sure as hell gonna give it my best shot.
He answered wryly.
And I love that about you.
She replied with a giggle.
Your choice, hard or soft. Baby, it's been too long.
She moaned, as he slid in and out teasingly.
Hard, please.
Tim pulled away, standing at the foot of the bed and ignoring her protesting whine. He grabbed her by her ankles and pulled her to the edge of the bed. Sliding his arms under her knees, he forced them up until they rested against her chest. He used the advantageous angle to thrust inside her deeply with long, smooth strokes.
Oh yes, baby. That feels so good, I'm going to come again.
She moaned. He increased the tempo, ignoring the friction it was causing against his shaft. Again he listened to her breathing as it matched his strokes. Her fingers scratched against his arms, helpless to do anything else as he crashed against her body with every stroke.
That's it, I'm coming!
She cried, throwing her head back, her eyes rolling upward. Donna thrashed against him, a wail emanating from her mouth that was more a scream than a moan. Instead of stopping to let her catch her breath, he pulled her closer to the edge of the bed and gripped around her thighs with his hands. Tim leaned back, pulling her hips off the bed and fucked her with short, rapid thrusts, the slapping of their bodies echoing in the room above her now constant moaning.
Say it!
He insisted, straining to hold back his climax long enough to push her to one more.
Fuck me harder, Tim!
She screamed.
Oh yeah, fuck me harder!
He pulled her upward until she was even with his hips, allowing him to pull her to him as he thrusted, the cacophony of their bodies colliding becoming all he could focus on. Faster and faster he crashed into her until he couldn't hold out any longer.
I'm coming!
He howled, releasing her legs and collapsing on top of her. Tim bit at her neck as his fingers wrapped in her hair, holding his last thrust as deeply inside her as he could reach. Donna moaned loudly one final time, then came with him, her body too exhausted to respond beyond an uncontrollable trembling. They lay together for several minutes, frozen in that position, each savoring every last ripple of their mutual climaxes. Finally, Tim leaned his head back to look into her eyes.
What do you think? An afore effort?
He asked with a chuckle.
I really miss you.
She cooed, wrapping her arms and legs around his body, trying to force him as close to her as possible. They basked in the afterglow of the intense encounter as long as they could, either wanting to disrupt the intimate moment. Finally, Donna rolled away and turned to him.
I have to tell you something, Tim. You were completely honest back at the restaurant, and you deserve the same from me.
He gave her a curious stare, but refrained from interrupting.
There's something that I never told you about college. I wanted to, but the time never seemed right. I was afraid it would be hurtful, but
But after what you said to my mom, I started wondering if you knowing would have prevented all of this.
She paused, deciding the best way to say what was on her mind.
When Jake started acting like a friend during the summer break, there was a reason the things he said were able to resonate with me.
She paused again and fidgeted nervously.
He told me that he had a lot of problems with women who just wanted to be around him because he was so well known or because they thought he'd be rich someday.
That struck a chord with me.
Why?
He said suspiciously.
Because I wasn't sure how you felt about me.
She said quietly.
Tim sat still, completely stunned.
Wasn't sure?
How can you say that?
His voice trailed off, too astonished to think of how to respond.
I knew you loved me.
She assured him.
But I wasn't sure it was for who I really was. I wasn't sure what our future was.
I don't understand, Donna.
What do you mean if it was for who you were?
Tim, you were a wonderful person and I loved you, but try to think about what it was like back then.
We were so young.
I was your first real girlfriend.
You cared for me, but how often did you stand up to me to voice the way you felt about things?
Probably not very often.
He admitted, trying to remember past the fog of the fond memories.
Almost never.
She replied.
At some point, you and I were both going to grow, but what was going to hold us together when we did?
Were we going to grow apart?
Was there enough there to make us last?
Donna, that's crazy. I said, unable to stay quiet any longer.
I told you every day how much I loved you. You told me every day how beautiful I was and how much you enjoyed being with me, but where were the difficult talks?
To move forward, we needed to challenge each other, and not be afraid to speak our minds.
At some point it became more physical than emotional and I started wondering.
She looked away.
If maybe I was wrong about the way you felt about me, and maybe you were in love with the fantasy of me. What was going to happen when I couldn't live up to the fantasy?
Donna, I just can't imagine you being that insecure.
Her eyes lit up and he could see her cheeks redden as her temper flared.
Of course not. I'm not supposed to feel afraid or insecure, I'm beautiful. She said, her voice thick with sarcasm.
You think that because you see me that way, I didn't have a worry in the world?
Well, I've got news for you. I get scared, the same as you.
I did back then and I still do today.
She took a deep breath and her voice became softer.
You said you saw yourself as someone who didn't deserve someone like me. Did you even for a second consider what I have to worry about?
Seeing his disbelieving stare, she continued.
I don't know how you can't see it, Tim. In 10 years, you're going to be handsome and even more successful.
In 10 years, I'm going to be 10 years older.
How do you not understand how scary it is for me to think about the women who will look at you as a prize catch?
Younger women who'll do anything to turn your head?
I'll be older and probably have a couple of kids.
How will I compete?
Donna, there's no competition.
You are all I've ever wanted, from the moment I saw you.
He smiled at the memory.
You know, right before I walked into the wall.
They both laughed, and the mood seemed to lighten a little.
So why did you want to tell me now, after so much time?
Because of the things you said about yourself to Mom.
When you asked me to stay, I realized that there was nothing I could do to fix your assumption of what happened back then.
I thought I could make up for the past by being the best girlfriend, then wife that I could be. But I couldn't.
Nothing I said or did could make you believe that I'd be there forever for you. Because you saw yourself as the lucky one and never considered the fact that I am the one who feels blessed to be in this relationship.
After everything I did, everything that happened to me, I got to not only be with you again, but you were a different person, a stronger person.
You were confident, unafraid, and willing to deal with me like your partner, your equal.
That's all I ever wanted.
She took his face in both hands and stared into his eyes, willing him to believe she was telling him the unvarnished truth.
Trust me, there was never a point in my life where I thought he was a better man than you.
He used lies, tricks, and my own fears to come between us.
That's all there ever was, and you need to know it so you'll stop believing that you have to worry about men like him.
Tim kissed her gently, hoping to reassure her.
Why didn't you tell me all this when you came back?
She visibly tensed again.
How could I have done that?
I show up after 5 years, then tell you the reason I cheated was because I was insecure about our relationship?
What would you have thought?
He paused to consider his feelings at that time.
That you were making excuses, trying to put the responsibility for what happened on me.
I would have been furious.
He admitted.
Donna nodded, her face contorting into a pained expression.
There was no way to be honest with you that wouldn't end up making everything worse, and maybe drive you even further away.
When you asked me to stay, I was thrilled, but still a little nervous about what might happen. That's why I took things so slowly. I wanted to be sure before things went further again.
Right until I found the ring.
Yeah.
He said with a chuckle.
I remember that day. It was like a light bulb went off for me.
She confided.
If I had been honest with you back then, you would have had the chance to give it to me in college, and maybe we could have worked through the problems.
Not only would I have avoided all the bad things that happened to me after you left, but I could have spent that last year of college with you and watched you go from the guy who was afraid to stand up to me into the man who I was intimidated to talk to.
That's a journey that I will regret missing for the rest of my life.
It all became so clear, about what I lost and how important the time I have with you is, because we just don't know when something could happen to end it.
That's why I was a little enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic?
I laughed.
As I remember it, you basically attacked me.
Well,
she said with a sheepish grin.
I had good motivation.
Enough.
Tim said firmly, tilting her chin up with his hand.
There's nothing you or I can do about the past.
It's time to let it go, for real this time, for both of us.
He pulled her close and rested his cheek against her head.
I've got you home and I'm never going to let you go again. She looked intently into his eyes. Is that a promise? Tim kissed her softly, then nuzzled her cheek. I swear on my life. I'll do everything in my power to make you happy. You are the most important thing to me and I will be the man you deserve. I promise. She snuggled against him contentedly, her head resting against his chest. That goes double for me. I know exactly how close I came to losing you again. I'll do whatever I have to in order to make sure nothing ever comes between us again. He couldn't help but smile at her touch and her words, his mind already working on a way to start making up to her what his jealousy had cost them. Tim, this is crazy. You don't need to take me out for our anniversary. It was a month ago. I love that you care so much, but this is not necessary. Besides, she said, gesturing at her clothes, I'm not dressed for a nice dinner. You could have at least let me go home and change. Tim regarded her with a wide grin. You look beautiful. Just indulge my insanity. Think how much better I'll feel if we can have a nice quiet dinner to remember for our first anniversary instead of that nightmare I caused. We caused, she said, emphasizing the first word. Remember what the doctor said, everything needs to be we from now on. He leaned in and kissed her as the elevator doors closed. The man standing in front of them hit the button for his floor. He turned slightly toward the couple. Where are you folks heading? All the way up, 96. Tim said proudly. My wife and I are celebrating our anniversary with a nice dinner and a beautiful view of the city. It's our first time to visit the John Hancock building. I've heard it's great. The man looked at his watch, then smiled, continuing to look forward as he spoke. You'll love it. At this time of the day, the sun's setting is incredible. By the time you eat, it'll be dark and it will be even better. Make sure to check out Lakeshore Drive and Navy Pier. They are amazing after nightfall. The stranger punched the floor, then gave them their privacy. Tim looked at Donna and Beam, kissing her lightly on the lips. That sounds perfect. The doors opened at the 95th floor and the man stepped out. You two have a wonderful night, he said, looking at the couple with a mischievous grin. It's nice to see two people so happy. Take care. He waved as the doors closed and Tim felt the elevator lurch as they went up again. It stopped a few seconds later. The doors opened and they stepped out. Tim turned to the right and asked Donna to wait for a moment as he stepped into the men's room. Looking at himself in the mirror, he desperately tried to rein in his enthusiasm. He thought of the beautiful woman waiting outside. Worth every penny, he whispered. He stepped out into a hallway again and took her hand. Looking her over quickly, Tim brushed his hand through her hair. She gave him a questioning look, and he responded with a shrug. You look so beautiful, I just can't believe it. Donna leaned in and kissed him, brushing her fingers across his chin. You are a handsome man and I am the lucky one, not you. Well, I can't argue with you there. He laughed. She elbowed him in the ribs as they walked into the bar at the end of the hallway. Surprise! Came the screaming voices, catching her completely off guard. Tim turned to see the shock on her face as the flashes from a half dozen cameras went off simultaneously. In front of them standing and clapping were Pete, Trisha, Cindy, her fiancé, Tim's parents, Caroline, and dozens of friends and co-workers. Across the windows on the other side of the bar was a banner that read, Happy First Anniversary Plus 1 Month. Her smile was infectious as everyone rushed to congratulate them. Tim turned just as Pete caught him in a bear hug that threatened to end his ability to breathe. Donna! Trisha's voice interrupted them. I think you might need this. She held out the dress Donna had worn on their anniversary. Looking at the people around them, she laughed, saying, Well, I told him I was underdressed. She left with Trisha and Cindy, heading for the ladies' room to get changed. Tim talked to their friends and family while they waited. Everyone was thrilled to be able to share the special evening. Pete grabbed a drink for Tim as he tried to thank everyone for changing their plans at the last minute to help make this day special for Donna. In the middle of the madness, he felt a tug at his arm. He turned to see Donna there, cheeks flushed, with everyone standing next to him in open admiration. It was amazing what the ladies had accomplished in the 10 minutes she had been gone. Her hair was done up beautifully, her makeup was immaculate, and she looked stunning in her dress. Tim was powerless to do anything but stare at how gorgeous she looked and how lucky he was to have her in his life despite everything that had happened to them both. I love you more than I thought was possible, Tim Sullivan, she said, wiping away a tear. Beaming with pride, Tim said. Then you love me about half as much as I love you, Donna Sullivan. They embraced, drawing oohs and ahs from everyone. He felt her jump as a loud female voice announced. Everyone, let's hear it for the happy couple. As the applause started up again, she turned towards the voice to see her favorite local band in the far corner of the room. They immediately launched into Stevie Wonder's For Once in My Life and everyone began moving to the beat as they continued to wish them well. Tim dragged her from the crowd to the dance area and enthusiastically spun her into his arms as several of their friends joined in. They danced a little more subdued than usual, content to hold each other and sway. They stayed on the floor for several songs, then walked back to a table next to the bar where they could talk. So do you like your party? Tim asked with unconcealed pride. Donna looked at him with such adoration, it made him blush. It's perfect. How did you do this? Well, sweetheart, sometimes you're not quite as observant as you think you are. Is she John? He asked, looking over her shoulder. She turned and saw the man from the elevator. He nodded. I guess I don't make as much of an impression as I thought. Her eyes got wide. Oh my gosh, John! I'm so sorry, I didn't recognize you. She got up and threw her arms around the man who had planned their wedding and made the day perfect, the only person Tim trusted with something as important as this night.
That's okay, Donna, he said with a smile. You were a little distracted. The hat and sunglasses probably didn't help, but we wanted to make sure not to spoil your surprise.
I was telling the truth. It's great to see two people so happy.
Tim saw a very attractive woman walk up behind John and touch him gently on the shoulder. He turned and took her hand, then turned back to them.
Tim, Donna, this is my wife Jenny. Jenny, these are two of the nicest people I've met since I've been in the business.
She reached forward and took Donna's hand.
It's very nice to meet you. I've been hearing stories about how wonderful you two are together for an hour now. I can see that they weren't exaggerating.
She stared purposefully at Tim.
It's nice to meet you too. You're a very good dancer. Do you think your wife would mind?
Not at all, Donna said with a smile.
He wears me out. I'd be grateful for the break.
John tried to suppress a laugh.
Good luck with this one.
When Tim gave him a confused look, John patted his shoulder.
You've definitely met your match here. Jenny used to be a professional dancer. If you can even remotely keep up with her, you're a much better man than me.
Tim laughed, then let her lead the way to the dance floor. She was thin, graceful, and supremely confident. He had no doubt that John was telling the truth, just from watching her stride purposefully toward the stage. When the next song started, he was shocked to find someone who made Trisha look like a beginner. Jenny was actually significantly better than his dance instructors. After several songs, Tim thanked her and gave her a quick kiss on the cheek. They walked back to the table where Pete and Trisha had joined Donna and John. Trisha was looking at him enviously.
That was impressive, she said grudgingly.
He shrugged.
Don't look at me. I was just trying not to step on her toes.
They all shared a laugh and Jenny thanked him.
I'll have to give you two discounts on any future parties if you agree to keep dancing with her like that,
John said.
I haven't seen my wife that contented on the dance floor in a long time. I have a bad feeling we'll be having the talk about me taking lessons again on the way home.
He grimaced, but looked at his wife with a level of affection that was unmistakable.
I'm sorry, folks, but I need to get going, Jenny said suddenly. We've got two kids at home and our sitter is probably pulling her hair out. I told you to bring your whole family,
Tim scolded. John shook his head.
We couldn't. Danny would have loved it, but the youngest is still too little. Damn express elevators.
Trisha nodded.
Speaking of that, I've been away from my daughter for far too long. I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack. I don't want to leave your party, but we can't stay much longer.
Jenny said goodbye to them, then John escorted her to her car. Pete and Trisha retrieved their coats and came to say goodbye.
Pete, Tim said curiously. There's something I have been meaning to ask about the night we talked to Jake.
He glanced nervously at Trisha, not wanting to get his friend into trouble.
It's okay, Tim, she said sternly. My husband doesn't keep secrets from me. He is still paying for that little stunt, but I forgive him. I know he's been wanting to kick that son of a bitch's ass for years.
She leaned forward conspiratorially.
To be honest, I'm only pretending to be mad. When he gets home tonight, he's going to get lucky. I heard that woman.
Pete laughed loudly.
You better believe I'm going to hold you to it.
They all laughed briefly, then Tim's expression turned serious again.
Well, right before you nailed him in the ribs, you told him that he deserved it for messing with your little brother.
Not that I mind the sentiment, but it was kind of odd.
Plus you had an intense look on your face that I've never seen before.
Pete sighed, looking long and hard at Trisha. She gave him an almost imperceptible nod, and he turned back to Tim.
I guess it's time you knew the truth, he said, his tone suddenly becoming melancholy.
He spoke, holding Trisha's hand like it was a lifeline.
When I was in younger, my little brother looked up to me like I was his hero. He was 5 years younger than me and a great kid. His grades were even better than mine. Mom kept both of us in line and never let us get involved with the crazy stuff that happened in our neighborhood. During my first few years in college, everything was great. Everyone told me I'd be making a mint in the pro football and Daryl was in high school, winning science fairs. He was never like me physically. He was a lot more like you.
Tim noticed the past tense Pete was using and began to get an uncomfortable feeling.
My senior year, everything changed. He was getting picked on by people who were jealous of how well he was doing in school. Some of them were even jealous of me, so they went out of their way to hassle him. Mom kept telling me she was worried, but I was so wrapped up in the attention I was getting that I didn't take her seriously.
Tim was startled to see a tear trickle down his cheek. He had never seen his friend so emotional. He felt Donna's hand squeeze his arm, and knew she was equally distressed.
The morning of a nationally televised game against USC, I got a call from Mom. She was crying hysterically. When she finally calmed down enough for me to understand her, she told me that Daryl had been killed in a fight with a gang member who had been picking on him at school. He was my little brother, and I wasn't there for him when he needed me. I swore I was going to play the game and dedicate it to him. It worked too. I had an amazing first half. The announcer said I was making a case for moving up to being a top 10 pick. Unfortunately, I was so determined to take out my anger on the quarterback, I never saw the tight end coming to chop block me. That's how I lost my knee. I tried to come back, but I was never the same on the field.
Pete looked at him sadly.
The truth is, part of me died that day. I don't know if I had it in me to keep playing. I finished my education and got the job he would have loved if he had been able to grow up. I've been there ever since.
Tim could feel his own tears welling up in his eyes.
Pete, I'm so sorry.
Why didn't you ever tell me?
He shrugged.
I couldn't. After a couple of years of going through some bad depressions, Trisha made me see her preacher. He convinced me that the only way I could learn to live with the guilt I felt was to find someone who reminded me of Daryl, someone who needed help. He told me to treat that person the way I wish I had treated my brother. It was based on something Gandhi had once said to a man who had done something horrible. I was doing a job fair for the company at your high school, where I saw you for the first time. I took one look and knew you definitely fit the bill. They all laughed, breaking the somber moment. The truth is, he said, you were my second chance. I got to watch you grow up and succeed. In a way, I felt like it was letting a part of Daryl live on. He shrugged. It probably sounds dumb, but it really helped me cope. Pete, Tim said firmly. It doesn't sound dumb at all. I wish you had told me, but I guess I understand. He thought for a second. Damn, no wonder you broke Jake's ribs. He's lucky you didn't do worse. I almost did. Pete said seriously. He's lucky you stopped me. I looked at him, and all I could see was that little punk who killed my brother. Pete shook his head, trying to gather himself. Anyway, that's the story. Now that you're all grown up. He said with his usual grin. I guess it's okay for you to know the whole thing. Not knowing what to say, Tim stood and embraced his friend, whispering. Thank you. He stepped back, wiping his eyes. Not wanting Pete to have to speak any more about something so obviously painful, Tim told him he better go see his little girl. He and Trisha congratulated the young couple one more time, then walked away. It looked like his tiny wife was actually supporting the enormous man as they walked away. Tim felt sorrow for what his friend had been through, but astonishment at the impact it had on his life. Donna took Tim's hand and leaned close. Daryl, she said thoughtfully. That would be a nice name for a little boy. He turned and studied her closely. Well, we said we wanted to start a family right away. Can you think of a better name? He smiled, warmed by her thoughtfulness as usual. Daryl would be perfect. The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes.